Hello, my name is Lowell, pronouns he, him, and this is a one-shot session of Murder in the Jedi Temple, which is part of our Star Wars Saturdays mini-con. This is our third annual one of these. Rich Rogers has been running many reskins of various games to play in the Star Wars universe, very little of official ones. He has at this point, 100 different systems as of this week that he has tried and reskinned and so on. Some really amazing stuff that has stood the test of time, particularly Hutt Cartel and Bounty of the Week have continued to come back again and again. People love those. He's done an amazing job with that, and we've got a bunch of games this weekend. This is a mystery game. It is carved from Brindlewood. It is takes mechanics and inspiration from Rosewood Abbey, which is by Calum, from the Release podcast. I will put a link to that in the description. He has a beautiful hardcover edition of that. If you like The Name of the Rose and you like mystery games, it's a dynamite thing. I have hacked this pretty heavily to make it a Star Warsy. But the same basic thing applies here. So I'm going to go through our cats, kind of setting up things. I've given the players some things ahead of time. Some of them have made some choices about their characters. We're going to talk about that character creation process. There's still some things to be filled in. I want to start with what our pitch is. So you are all on the Jedi Temple on Devok, and this is a place that Jedi who have had issues, have had problems, as I've said, the lost, the fallen, the broken, they are sent here to recover. That means those who have touched the dark side of the Force, those who have suffered injuries, those who have suffered a crisis of conscience, all of those things sent here to meditate, to consider, to talk with others. There is a little bit of kind of a therapeutic aspect to here, but a lot of it is giving the Jedi the chance and the space to work through what has happened to them. And some of the people that are here may be sent by the Jedi Council as much for that as for problems that they've caused. Our time is that right now we are in the Old Republic at the end, the war with Dooku and the alliance of planets and the trade guild and all of that has been going on. We haven't gotten to the final part of that, but that had been going on for several years. That's meant Jedi have been called up to war in a way that they haven't before, and they've been involved in politics of the New Republic in a way they haven't before. And this has really changed the dynamic for the Jedi, for the Jedi Council, and we're kind of in an uncertain crisis period there. As I said, you are one of these Jedi that have been sent to recover, but there is going to be a murder. We are going to kind of set things up. We will establish who you are, maybe what you think and know about each other. I want to give a chance to put some of the NPCs, the other Jedi, on the table so that you can kind of pick ones to interact with before we introduce the sort of inciting incident. So that's what this is going to be today. So we're going to do characters. We'll talk about generally connections. We'll do the setup of NPCs and doing some setting the scene for what the temple is like and all of that kind of stuff. We'll get some play. We'll have a murder. And then the play will be about exploring the scenes, talking to NPCs, gathering clues, getting those on the table, also using the action of the exploration to, or rather, the exploration action can be used for gathering clues. It can also be used for establishing details or things that add context to the investigation, to the mystery. Right now, Well, probably difficulty 4 or 5 that will shift down depending on where we are towards the end of the thing. That means we're going to be looking for, at least 4 or 5 clues plus a little bit more to give your role a little bit more weight. And I kind of use a structured approach when we get to that process at the end for that. Now, I'm very acutely conscious of timing, so you may see me when we get to that last hour moving to hard frame some scenes to get us in a place where we can both do that revelation, that what is it called? Yes, the revelation's action, and have time to resolve that then. So that is very much my goal here is a strong one shot. We will be taking a couple of breaks throughout. And if we need to take breaks earlier, if we need to pause before I've kind of called one, please feel free to say. In terms of tone, I imagine this closer to the more modern Star Wars that we've seen, where the role and the place and what the Jedi are about are a little more gray. There's a little more questioning about that. And what they mean. I think that's kind of the general tone, but this is still at its heart PG-13, I would say. So kind of keep that in mind. Now I know all of you have played with me before, so you're familiar with what I'm about to go through and the spiel of our safety tools. I mention safety tools because they are so important when playing, especially when you're playing with people that you haven't played with before. Also because there's some people who hate safety tools, and so I want them to hear that we're using them and turn off the video. So there we go. So we are using lines, veils, and ask firsts. While we're doing the character creation process, feel free to go through there. A hard line be anything that just not a topic that we're going to be hitting against today. Veil being anything that should it occur, we're going to definitely fade to black on it. And then ask first if there's something you want to definitely have a check-in before you would bring that up as a topic in play. Now that's kind of a baseline setting thing. We also have a romance matrix that fits in with that with NPCs, PCs, and asking first on that. And then we have our X card. Our X card is the reactive version of the safety tools that if we hit something that we haven't put on a line or veil or something that we find objectionable, that we find problematic, that we find wildly off tone, we can X card, either saying X card or doing this gesture that no one ever does. But I do it every time because it's a wrestling gesture as well. That is there. If something happens in the first couple of times, you don't X card it, but then later on you're like, oh, I'm not digging this. It is legit to X card it. X carding can be hard sometimes, but we've all played together. It's so much tougher when you haven't played together. I was talking with Rich, who's a super veteran of playing and using safe tools, and he was in a group where he didn't know everybody and he felt uncomfortable X carding. But I really want to encourage you to do that. If you have a question about that or you want to do it without making it public, you can always message on the X card. I'll try to keep an eye on that, especially if you want to just message it to me if there's something that comes up that you want to deal with. Lastly, this is a game with an open table policy, which means open door, rather. It's open table, but it's also open door. We get two open things. But the open door means that should you need to step away, leave, take a break for whatever reason, you're more than welcome to. You should give us a heads up, maybe. But you're not obligated to. These are all things that are available to you. Again, with safety tools, one blanket statement I want to make about that. When you invoke a safety tool, you are not required to explain or defend your choice. You are not required to do that. If you want to, like when you X card, if you want to, you can do that, but you're not required to. If anybody gives you pushback on that, you should that's not good. So I just want to keep that out there. So let's look at these character sheets. So the some of you I know have already started getting things on there. The character creation process is pretty simple. As I mentioned in the initial email, the trouble and the is probably the place to start with. And I see that some of you have chosen that. That's kind of sets the template for what your character is about and why they're here. And that is then going to also set, you're going to choose a condition that you're starting with based on that. Conditions are kind of one of our HP trackers effectively in this game, but they can be cleared. There are moves to do that. They cause us disadvantage when that particular condition you think would interfere with that situation. And then everybody has one move, and these should all be different. And I think we see that, just to mention that, Will, Alan, you can see which ones have already been taken. Okay, so that's on there. And then the last thing is the three traces of your past. Now, mechanically, why are these important? These are objects, items, even ideas that you have available to you on your person. You can, when you go to roll, mark one of those traces. If it's appropriate, say how it helps out, how it fits in, and that will give you advantage on the roll, which means rolling 3d6 and taking the two highest. One of the things I do want to point out is this is a game that at certain points will be a little mono move. We will try to do some other moves, but we'll often find ourselves falling back to that exploration move on things. So I just want to give you a heads up about that. There is a once per session Tales of the Jedi move, which you can invoke. Essentially, you tell a story about that, you agree how the situation fits with that, and then you get to either take a 12 plus on whatever role you're doing, or you could decide to declare or rewrite a clue that's already been established to revise it. The shared burden move is the way that we clear conditions. It's about interacting, talking with our fellow Jedi. It's the way that we get those cleared. And then the last thing I want to point out, move-wise, is call on the Force. You can call on your connection to the Force to aid you. I apologize, there's a helicopter going over. When you do that, you're going to mark a Virtue of the Jedi or a Path of the Sith. And you'll see there are eight of those total. You have little boxes and little descriptions. You're going to narrate a flashback for it. And then you can raise the success level of a move you just rolled. So six or less goes to 7 to 9, 7 to 9 to 10 plus, and there's even the 12 plus on some moves. Or you can use the Force to solve a situation. Like you just use it to solve a problem that is in the present thing. The first two times you do that are free. But after that, if you want to use, mark and use one of those, we'll also have to take an appropriate condition. So that's our shadows and reflections things from our Carve from Brindlewood. All right. If everybody is cool with it, I would like to go across the character keeper and have you introduce your characters. Introduce yourself, your character's name. Yes,
I have a
Sabine.
question.
Yes.
The traces of the past, we choose them ourselves. They are not something we give to each other.
Correct. No, you use
Okay,
those
cool.
yourselves. Yeah. Yeah, it's a
Nice.
little bit different from original Brindlewood. I think it was easier to do it that way. And if you don't have those now, you can choose those on the fly as we go along. There's no big rush on that. I will check in with safety here before we get too much further, and then we'll have those introductions. So we have hard lines on torture by the PCs, sexual assault, cannibalism, fat phobia, homophobia, racism, and transphobia. And then we have veils on dental horror, sexual content, graphic gore, harm to children, homophobia, and transphobia. So those are our safety tools that we have in play. And again, the X card will supplement that. So, Will, tell us, introduce yourself, introduce your character's name, pronouns, and tell us about their troubles and why they are here.
I made a last minute change.
Okay.
My trouble. I'm playing Vant Dathas, who is a Twi'lek, homeworld's planet Ryloth. Vant was is a Jedi Knight, fought on the front lines of the Clone War. And he his trouble is that he has had a disagreement with his master. I think Vant lost his first master in one of the battles of the war. And he was reassigned to a new one who was much more strict and by the book. And so when the battle took place in, let's say, well, I don't know, like on some a rim world where
Okay.
slavery and the chattel kind of treatment of people that you see in the Star Wars series, was seen as beyond the Republic's jurisdiction. The Vant's homeworld of Ryloth has a long history with slavers, and he doesn't view them as, falling within the Jedi code. And so he went off on his own and freed a bunch of people, destroyed a bunch of droid guards, generally acted out of, the Jedi way, and isn't sorry about it. So therefore, he's been sent back to the temple to contemplate, balance, peace. All of those things for he risks for falling to the dark side, which has left Vant with the condition of angry, because he's pretty angry about this. Not angry enough to start throwing lightning around, unlike some people have maybe done in the past. But yeah, he's so that and his move is that he has hidden a lightsaber. I think that he hid his lightsaber in his old camo weather cloak from the trenches of Jabim. A rain-soaked planet that was one of the bloodiest fights in the Clone Wars, and an excellent arc of the Dark Horse Old Republic comics.
Okay.
And he also has a battered comlink and a lucky Sabacc.
So, why didn't you walk away from the order? Why were you willing when the order came and said this to you? What held you that made you agree? Because they wouldn't have forced you, made you agree to come here for this.
The Jedi, I think it's loyalty to his old dead master who taught him that, this was the way, and that, these injustices. And I think his old master was a little bit of a maverick, but could get away with it more than Vant could because he was a master and therefore, really only answerable to himself in the field. But yeah, sadly, that's. Have a quick look over at the names and species helper. Sadly, Marla Dival died on the battlefield of Jabim.
So a kind of a lingering loyalty there that keeps you from making that final break. Okay. I like that. Awesome. I think that gives us enough certainly to work with. That brings us next to Jose.
Unmute myself. Hi, everybody. My name is Jose, and my pronouns are he and him. And I am playing a Jedi, also, as we all are. His name is Ravine. He is from the Chiss species. The reason he's come to the temple is because he briefly slipped over to the dark side. I think what happened was, he was very, very connected to another Jedi Knight who was actually secretly aligned with the Sith, and was manipulating him over time and his emotions. And that betrayal was revealed. And when that did happen, I think Ravim's own anger at the betrayal caused him to temporarily slip into the dark side. His friend, let's call him Kaelin, escaped. But Ravim is still haunted by that betrayal. And he's also haunted by the fact that he has one of the ways the force manifests in him is a lot of premonitions. And he has these premonitions of something really horrible and catastrophic happening to the Jedi Order. And so he has a secret motive for coming to the temple. He believes that there is some kind of secret knowledge or artifacts here in the temple that might help him fight or combat this impending doom that he sees coming for the Jedi Order and for the galaxy at large. And let's see, he has a few traces from his past. He has a tattered journal from his time as a Padawan, where he just wrote down his thoughts and scribbled. And then he has a holocron of Jedi wisdom, which is a precious thing that he carries with him. And I'm going to say a lightsaber crystal passed down from his master, who maybe his master has passed as well in a battle. Yeah, that's what comes up right now for me.
The Chiss are unusual. They're a slightly more private, I would say, of the Star Wars races. They don't interact, I know, as much with the Jedi and things like that. So how did it happen that Ravim came to leave his home world and become a Jedi and become a very serious Jedi?
Mm-hmm. I think normally, I think my understanding, I don't know that much about it, but I know usually the force sensitive among the Chiss are women. And I think there was something odd about Ravim from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And he felt that he had to hide his force sensitivity and his visions because he didn't think that they would be received well on his home world. And finally, that drove him to try to escape his home world and move out and look for some kind of guidance around his connection to the Force and these kind of overwhelming visions of the future that he kept seeing. So I think that's what led him to come out from
that. I like that. And I do like the idea we have someone who has had to deal with betrayal and maybe hasn't come to terms exactly with what that betrayal means to them. Awesome. So I think that gives us enough for us to work with there. That will bring us to Sabine.
Yeah, hi. One question. Are we during the Clone Wars or not? I'm confused about this.
So we're during that time when Dooku is out causing trouble. There's a several year stretch there that is going on. But before oh come the Clone Wars have. But kind of in that Dooku is the problem right now.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. Okay, I'm playing Saraya Dahl, who is human and from Coruscant. Saraya is a Jedi because she's been raised at the Jedi Temple, like you are, right? She's maybe not the most, she might not be the best Jedi. Some people might say she's the worst Jedi, or she's at least a disaster Jedi. Saraya likes fun, right? Like, fun, like you go down to Coruscant and have a little fun, go play games, have a little romp with someone or some more than someone. And Saraya got caught. Well, and she, of course, claimed it was deep love, I don't know what she was thinking there, but they were like, no, this is attachment. You know, she was like, oh, fuck, no, that, I shouldn't have said that. And they said, okay, you need to leave now. You need to go to this temple and find your center of balance. And she was like, yeah, well, okay, I guess. She has lost a lover, is not in the sense that there is a single person that she lost and is pining for, but she's lost her lifestyle that she really enjoyed, and a couple of lovers and things like that. And yeah, she's restless because of it. She's in a temple here. What's she doing here anyway? It's kind of, yeah, well, that's what she's doing now. She can force sleep though. She's really good at force sleeping. That is fun, because using the force is kind of fun, right? That's what it's supposed to be. No, it's not. Okay. It's about guarding the peace and stuff like that. Yes, of course it is. Of course, sure. Yes, Master.
So it strikes me that Sanaya is a fairly young Jedi.
Yeah, she's fairly young.
Do you think that what kind of role has she had in this time? Has she been on the battlefield? Okay. So she has fought in these wars, and yet has managed to stay above it.
She has probably not fought in any kind of real war. She's gone out and chased a few robbers, talked sternly to pirates, because you shouldn't bully people, right? That's not right. And been on diplomatic missions mostly, because she's actually not that bad at talking to people. You need to reel her in before she gets too close to people, and before she gets to go cheat them at sabacc or stuff like that. But yeah, she's not been in actual wars or fights to the death much.
So what does she think of all of this talk going on around, like this is all the Jedi are talking about, that there are lists of Jedi dying, there's these wars and things like that. How does she see that? Is that something distant? Is she worried about that coming? Is it something completely outside of herself?
Oh, it's she's not worried. She's not worried at all, because being worried leads to fear, leads to anger, leads to hatred, leads to the dark side. So you shouldn't do that. She's very good at not doing fear. Fear is bad.
Okay. A good at closing themselves off from that.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then last but not least.
Do you want to know about traces that I brought with me, or?
Oh, I know you can hang on to those and
cool.
Surprise me with them as we go along.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Alan.
My name is Alan, pronouns he, him, as are the pronouns of my character, Lorne Killian. Lorne, by the look of it, is a lot older than everybody else here. He is more a contemporary of Dooku, I think, in terms of age and experience. Sadly, Killian and his Padawan were sent after Dooku, but intelligence failed, there was a trap, and my Padawan died. And one of the items I hold very dear is their braid. The reason he died was that the Force failed me, or maybe I failed the Force. And in consequence, I'm convinced that my connection to the Force is beginning to decay. And that leaves me frightened, because I don't know what I'll do without that.
Does he feel that this decay of the Force is coming from age, from the sort of the prophecy of the decay of the breakdown of the Force, or is it maybe from the experiences he's had? How does he think that is coming about?
Publicly, he kind of refuses to admit it's happening. In his darkest moments, he thinks that his dark twin, Kodo Killian, they They've always shared a lot. They've always had a connection through the Force. And he's pretty certain that somehow Kodo is drawing on the Force. So the balance is lost.
So who came here first? Did Kodo end up here at the temple on Devok first? Or was it you that arrived first and then Kodo came?
I arrived first, and I don't know how I feel about the arrival of Kodo. As a member, I'm unclear why he's here.
He is a Jedi. He's arrived, but he hasn't spoken to you about the reasons for him being here?
We don't speak.
Okay. Why?
I think it's because I've never trusted his judgment. We were separated growing up because the judgment was that we'd be better trained by different masters in different places. So we were separated as younglings. As I say, we always had that connection. But I am increasingly convinced that somehow Kodo is taking my Force away. He is somehow messing with the balance that gave me access to the Force.
Okay. I think that gives a nice, interesting set of things to play with there. So we are going to start with all of you kind of together, and I want to maybe establish connections, just a kind of general connection between our characters. So Vaunt, we'll kind of swing back to you. Which direction do you want to go? Do you want to tell us like your relationship with Ravine or with Lorne? That'll kind of decide which direction we're going to take our connections, Vaunt.
I think Ravine.
Okay. So you both relatively recently arrived here. What's your reaction to, impression of, feeling about Ravine?
You let him go. You know, he crossed that line. He joined the dark side. He fell. And what did he achieve? What's he called? Ravim. Not Ravim. Kalem. Kalem. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think he trusts Ravim. I think that I think he's suspicious of Ravim. I think he feels that Ravim, we all struggle with anger.
Mm-hmm.
We do. You know, what did you do?
So a strong feeling about that. It's something that is known, and you have feelings about that. Ravim, kind of a little antithetical direction here, though. Ravim, what is your take on Sanaya, our more youthful and energetic Jedi amongst this group?
I think there's a mixture of dismissal and envy. Ravim is very haunted by these grand visions, right? And so he is obsessed with trying to figure out what he's supposed to do and what his responsibility is around all of that. And he's very weighted down by all of that. And Sanaya seems so happy-go-lucky that part of him wishes he could be like that. But on the surface, I think it's more disdain that he shows towards her. Disdain's a strong word. Let me see.
Disapproval or disappointment or
yeah, I see Ravim kind of like watching Sanaya with those mixed emotions on his face, the wanting to feel that kind of lightness of being that she so effortlessly portrays, and also some kind of part of him saying, disapproving. Yes, that's a good one.
On the other hand, Sanaya, we've got you, youth versus our lion in winter, of Lauren Killian. What's Sanaya's take on him?
I think she, well, two things. First of all, I mean, you're an old Jedi. You're supposed to be wise and calm in yourself, right? They all tell me when you're older, you will whatever, right? And then look at him. Yeah. So yeah, but also it's kind of like, damn it, man. Well, why are you that frightened? Why are you that afraid? What's the worst that can happen, really? If you lose the Force, you lose the Force. It's fine. You're still alive. You're still connected to the Force. So,
Lauren, do you think you know that this decay is going on? Are you hiding that?
I'm not admitting it publicly.
Okay.
I'm here technically, okay. I think, to recenter, okay. Having lost a Padawan.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's obviously that's sad, and not in the dismissive way. That's really like, okay, that's understandable that you're down, and I think she'll try cautiously to cheer you up, maybe a little bit.
And I think Lauren will take that. But what's odd is that the sense you get of him is that he's frightened, not guilty, not grieve. He's grieving, but you can't quite work out, is my guess, why it is that he's frightened. You know,
I'll figure it out. I'm restless enough.
Yeah.
It's a challenge, so.
Absolutely.
There's little to do here besides meditate anyway.
And of course, you know, if you want to ask his brother, Lauren's brother is here, and certainly he's a little more approachable. So, you know, if you want to find out, maybe ask his brother, and brother will inform you on these things.
No, I wouldn't do that because, you know, these two don't talk.
Yeah.
So going to the other guy and saying, hey, what's up with your brother? No, that's not, you don't do that.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And Lauren, what is your take on Vaunt Dotus, our Twi'lek?
I mean, part of me feels that there's a sense of self-indulgence. You know, this angry young man, so to speak, and the order is based on the idea of hierarchy. If I understand that he's disagreed with the Jedi superior, then maybe his place is not in the order. So I think judgmental,
okay,
would sum that up.
Excellent. So, Vant, we're here at the Jedi Temple on Devok. It is a large old facility, a lot of rooms, a lot of space in it. There used to be many more Jedi here, training and practicing and so on, but so many of them have been called away to these other places that Devok. They're great echoing empty halls. You know that for several of the other Jedi who are here, Honors, Vex, so on, there's something of them also having suffered in the recent engagements. There are a lot of Jedi that come here because of physical injury or emotional injury from that to recover, that they can then go back out again to the war, depending on who they are. So what do you think your day consists of? Like, what are they, do they have you doing anything? Or do you think that You get to set your own schedule of meditation and practice and reading, or are there therapy sessions? What do you imagine, Vaunt?
I think that that there are meditation sessions that, I'm encouraged to attend, perhaps alongside Lorne Killian, Noble Master, who has such a strong connection to the Force, and such wisdom for us to follow from. But I think that, outside of that, he gets to set his own schedule. I think that Vance spends a lot of his time reading the tales of the Jedi of old, in the early days of the Republic, of Ulic Kelderoma and Exar Kun and the Mandalorian Wars and the great battles where, the Jedi were knights. They were, in his eyes, they were courageous, and he's struggling to see the link sometimes between the aesthetic order of today and the warriors of the past.
I like that very much. Raveem, you are given a lot of room and independence and time to yourself. What is the place that you have found to kind of make your own? Is it someplace out in a garden? Is it a practice area? Is it your rooms? Is it a balcony overlooking, there's a small town that's outside the temple? What do you think it is?
I think Ravim is probably spending a lot of time. There's an archive of some sort. So kind of I'm seeing dusty stacks like in a library. Obviously, it wouldn't be a library in the traditional sense of books. Maybe some kind of crystals or something that keep knowledge. So when he has time, he goes down there. Maybe it's in a lower level. It's got to be a basement kind of thing. Yeah, and he's spending time there.
That, like, there is an above kind of reading room library with Master Grogus, but then there are the deep archives that you go and find, look through the working through the different languages, seeing those
Looking for clues.
clues, talking about what it means for someone to fall into the dark side and come back, how that goes. Sanaya, you would have quickly found out that the Jedi Temple is fairly isolated. They keep to their own. But if you do need anything, then there is the Togruta, Silel Kib, who can help you out. So is that something you would have taken advantage of, or is this
Oh,
like...
absolutely. I mean, she's got an eye patch. She looks like a pirate. She's super interesting.
And so what is it you would have tried to get maybe smuggled in for you? Or, it's not exactly contraband, but what might she have had her acquire for you?
I'm thinking, what have I acquired? I'm thinking small stuff, mostly because I actually want to talk to her and l listen to her adventures and stuff she's been up to and things like that.
She has great tall tales of
Oh,
her
lovely.
history as a smuggler,
Oh.
before she turned over
Yes,
a new
that
leaf.
was such a good choice.
Yes. And certainly talks about that, and she'll get you various extra foodstuffs from town and things if you'll sit and listen to her go on for a great amount of time.
I mean, I might have a tale or two of my own, right?
Ooh. She would be interested.
I was out there doing doing diplomatic missions, and they weren't all super boring.
She'll be very interested in that, because most of the stuff she's heard is about trade delegations,
Oh
those
no.
kinds of things. So.
No, we had to deal with this Hondo Onari character who was a pirate. That was interesting.
Like a hut
Hondo
pirate?
Naka. Hondo Naka. No, Hondo Naka is a Wiquay.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, he.
Lorne, what is it that is the place that draws you here, that you find as your space to rest, maybe.
I think that I think I keep myself to myself. I probably only really spend time with the others at meal times. Maybe there is an encouragement for us to come together to break bread. But I think it is in the sacred space that the temple offers where I can meditate on the nature of the force and my connection to it. I've added my dark twin.
Your dark twin. And where is he found usually?
I don't know. I think that he...
See him during the day?
We come in for meal times and studiously ignore one another.
All right. So I'm going to come back to you, Will, Vaunt. So in that row on the NPC tab, that row 21, we've got those four Jedi there, Master Honors, Vex, Jezalu, Arrants. And then the first one on the next row, Master Togan, those are the five other Jedi that are, like you, recovering. The other people are staff or not present yet. So I want to have each of you call a scene with one of these Jedi who were there. So, Vaunt, who do you want to have a scene with? Kind of establish some things about them and see how you would interact with them.
I think I'd like a scene with Master Arantz.
Okay. You could tell she's an older Jedi. You know from what you've heard around here that she has been a Jedi healer, and rumor has it that she has been out on the front lines, but has been here maybe a little bit longer than most. The sense you've gotten is that she was one of the first people who had a bad experience during these recent conflicts. Do you think you cross paths with her in one of the halls, in the sort of shared eating space, in the library?
I think perhaps it's maybe there's like a garden,
yeah,
like an outside space. I think I come across her there in the gardens.
She is tending to various herbs and things. There was a little bit of people having some gardening space and there being some productive areas here. She senses your presence and she will look up as you come in and she will say, Master Dotus.
Just a knight, Master Arrant, not quite a master.
In my day, we addressed anyone who was above a Padawan as a master. The title of knight is archaic and now refreshed for violent times.
I suppose. Still a galaxy that needs knights. Now more than ever. And here we are.
Here you are. You seem more intact than others. Why are you here and not fighting against this Confederacy?
My master disagreed with my decisions. The Confederacy is not the only thing in the galaxy that spreads hate and fear and pain.
what else does?
Take your pick. The Huts, the Pikes, the Zygarians, all these things that happen just within the borders of the Republic or on the edges, and we allow passage through from Tatooine to Nel Hutta to Nar Shaddaa to Corellia. I cannot walk those places and turn a blind eye.
So you would have us be judge, jury, and executioner?
Would you have us be merely the enforcers of the government?
I would not have that, but I hope that there is some space in between those.
Executioner seems unnecessary. Liberator.
Liberator is the word that winners get to use. Survivors.
True. True. What brings you here, Master Aaron? I heard you were a healer.
I am, but I have somewhat lost myself.
Too much pain. Well, I can sympathize.
You should find yourself a hobby. Gardening is good.
I've taken up reading.
And she will give you that bow, that slight genuflection of respect, and she will return to her matters. Ravine? Sorry. Did you want to catch
down?
Okay.
I will bend down and smell the herbs that she's gathering. Maybe take a few for my own.
Okay. Ravine, who would you like to have a scene with here of the NPCs?
How about Master Togan, which I think you associated him with the library or the archives somehow. I can't remember.
Well, you've seen him around. Mm-hmm. He does kind of, because Master Grogus is so the lizard man kind of librarian, is so kind of non-human looking. Togan does also go down there. Here's what you would know. You know that he was found. They thought maybe he was of the same people as our venerable master, Yoda, but is not. And no one is certain exactly, but he had a strong connection with the Force, and his master at a very young age found him and brought him along and took him and trained him. He has a vocoder. He doesn't actually speak except through the electronics, so there is a little bit of a stilted up. When you've heard him talk, you can tell that there's some strangeness in how the language comes out for him. Mm-hmm. But you know that his master died during these recent conflicts, and he was apparently alongside him, and it kind of broke him. He had just kind of gotten to the point where he would not be considered an apprentice, but this absolutely devastated him, so he's been here. And he's cautious around people, but you also look a little bit different with that skin tone, that blue, which, you know, he sees and can tell is unusual. So how would you approach him?
I think, so we've been crossing paths, I think maybe in the library, over the past weeks. And I've sensed that he's kind of private. And I'm feeling kind of private as well. But But I think how would I approach him? So I think we've acknowledged one another's presence at numerous times, and I think Ravim will walk by him and notice that he's looking at either a crystal or he's reading something, whatever version of reading it is. I wish I knew more about the Star Wars universe. I'm sorry.
Little
I will
projections or
apologize
little,
here.
I always meant to just polymer plates, like
Polymer
crystal plates,
plates.
so.
Yeah. But he's studying something. And then as Ravim walks by, he recognizes something about what he's reading, and is intrigued by because remember, Rareem has a secret motive to be here, to find some kind of secret knowledge that might help him address some of what he's seeing in his visions.
And it's like a kind of an old tales of the Jedi volume that he's looking through. And he'll kind of lean over, and Token will be aware of your presence, and will look up at you and will say, "Master would read many times this, many, many times to me."
I've never heard this tale that you're reading right now.
Many tales collection, why I followed many stories.
Do you find solace now in connecting with this tale and remembering your master?
There is no solace, there is only grief.
I am sorry, Master Togan, that that is all you experience now. Do you feel any connection with your master who has passed beyond?
They say I should. I seek it. I meditate on it, but I cannot.
I sometimes see my master who also passed on. Perhaps if we meditated together.
Perhaps. And I think that one of the things you'll realize is there's definitely grief in him when he's talking about his master and his master's death, but you'll also sense an undercurrent of anger. I'm going to cut from there. Sanaya, who would you like to have a scene crossing with here?
I think maybe, I don't know. I think I would have like to have a scene with maybe Master Vex, because I imagine that when we are meditating together, because I am kind of, they have strongly encouraged me to meditate like a lot.
Vex is very interesting. You know that he's not a warrior like some of the others who are here, but instead he spent decades traveling around and investigating and dealing with force anomalies, like all of those strange manifestations of the force, like weird force users or places that bent the force. Like he was the one who went and did that. And you've heard his name because there are a lot of Jedi who were his students. He would take groups of them along as apprentices and show them this. But you often catch him talking to the air at this point.
What an interesting character. I mean, there's not much to do, right? So, I think I will, during one of the meditation sessions, when I can handle the, oh my God, I've been sitting here for 10, for an hour, like for an entire hour, and not done anything, and maybe I'll try to strike up a conversation with him when he starts talking to the air. That seems like okay. Master Rex, who are you talking to?
I'm talking to the Force.
Oh, okay.
Who are you talking to?
You right
Oh,
now.
that does check out.
Yes. I haven't been able to talk to the Force, though. I mean, except for it doesn't answer.
Oh, it always answers. You just can't hear it.
Okay, that's fair.
You are very young, but I can see there are many scars on you. You've been through a lot, haven't you?
Not particularly not. I mean, I've been around, but some of the scars are from wild animals. I really thought these Nogolian porcupines were a lot nicer than they turned out to be.
I envy your enthusiasm.
We're only alive once, right? And isn't that the beauty of the forest?
In what sense do you mean that, Sinaya?
I mean, just to in the forest is there. We might as well enjoy it, I guess.
Pauses and he says, yes, let's just enjoy the Force. Seem kind of like clearly avoid saying something else, but he says, you are young, you don't need to think about the other parts yet.
Oh, I don't want to think about the other parts ever.
No. Yes, that seems reasonable.
I think so myself too. I see a lot of booty people here. And I understand that. But that I don't think that's what we're meant to be, booty.
Why have you remained? You seem like a person who'd be determined to move on from such a place.
No, I mean, why have I remained? I am a Jedi. I believe in the what we do. I mean, I've been told I'm much of a mostly a disaster of a Jedi, but I believe that we can do good things. And I like going out there and helping, actually helping people, making them find joy.
Excellent. That will help for what comes next.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
I'm going to
Are you
cut.
seeing?
Oh,
Oh,
well, go
yeah,
on.
okay.
Do you have one more line?
No, I think I'll give him a grin and take that.
Okay.
Take that as a win.
All right. And Lorne, who would you like to call a scene with?
I think. Because I like the picture of Master Jezalu and the way that she's giving the side eye to someone, I think that perhaps she approaches me. And
Master Killian,
yes.
you are experienced, a veteran, a venerable Jedi.
There are no venerable Jedi, there are just Jedi.
But there are Jedi who have been in the wars, in the service.
Yes.
Perhaps you could speak for me. You could talk to Grandmaster D, and tell him that I am fit to go back out for service. I should not be here. I need to be back in the fight.
Why are you here?
There.
Why do you think you shouldn't be here?
Because whatever mistakes I made, the amends have I have I am valuable to the fight that comes, and I should be back out there.
Mistakes?
There were incidents. It was an incident, and a decision was made, and it proved to be the incorrect decision, and lives were lost, and it was my decision, and so I was sent here. It is really a political matter.
This is very close to his own situation, I think. And so the order will judge when the time is right for any of us to go back to the fight. But you must excuse me now. I must meditate.
And she goes full deferring. You can tell that she's a little upset, like she's got this weird determined nature, but she nods to you. And we're on a few days later, when sort of unexpectedly during the day, there is the bell that chimes that calls for assembly, and all of you are called in and actually called down to the outside where the landing pad is. And everyone is there, Grandmaster D, Master Grogus, all of the other Jedi, even the maintenance droid is out on the pad, whirling around. And you will see that a fairly well-appointed shuttlecraft with essentially the marks of the Jedi Council has landed. And you will see the ramp come down, and maybe we get a little bit of a Williams reworking of the Imperial March here for a moment. And we will see three figures come down. At the lead is a tall figure who some of you will know as Grandmaster Count Ruvasha. He was a well-placed military person within the Jedi, and like most Jedi, when you enter the council, enter the service, become part of the order, you give up your titles and so on. And he had, but then he left the order and managed to regain his title of Count. But when the battle broke out against Dooku, he returned to service and sort of oddly has kept both the Grandmaster title and the Count title. You know that he is one of the generals for the Jedi. Vaunt, what is the bad shit that you have heard about Ruvasha that you know as out there in the world?
I think that Divasha, I think that Divasha blockaded a planet and starved its population into submission.
Yes, he has been known to take unusual tactics to deal with Dooku's forces, and has a reputation for kind of skirting the borders of what is permitted. You will see that there is a woman following kind of in his wake, clearly an attaché. You see that she has a variety of data pads with her, Lady Azosa there. She's a Moralian. You see her there on the NPC tab. They are followed by a third figure who is in the third row. You can tell by the facial features and so on that she is a Zabrak, though her skin coloration is different. She walks hesitatingly. You can see that she's had a lot of recent cybernetic repairs. Like, clearly she went through something horrible. And she's a little disoriented as she comes down the path. And when you get they get to the bottom, Grandmaster Ravasha, Count Ravasha, says to D, someone needs to take her to your medical facility. And D will say, I'll have our droid take her. And he says, that'll be fine. And sends her off, doesn't say any word to her, just kind of gestures and points for her to follow the droid, and they head off. And then you'll see him turn, and he will look and survey all of you, and he will say, I'm Grandmaster Count Ravasha. I'm here to take over administration of this Jedi Temple. I have been assigned here by the High Council. I plan to make changes. I plan to bring this place into repute once again. And he'll look at D and he will say, Grandmaster D, you may remain if you wish under my administration. This temple is important, but, and he looks around at all of you, he says, I know that some of you should not be here. Some of you are here, but you should be back on the line. There are some of you who have used this place to hide when you should be out there doing your duty for what comes next. I will be reviewing everyone's cases individually over the next several days. This is a vital duty which the Jedi Council have given to me. Eventually, I hope to learn your names. And then he will gesture to Grandmaster D and he will start walking. And I think all of you can see amongst the Jedi there, Honors, Vex, Jezalu, Errance, Togan, like there is no good reaction to Ruvasha. In fact, you almost see Master Honors like step forward to confront him, but holds himself back from that. The other thing you see is as he moves on and everyone's kind of shocked by his movement through with D kind of following him, you'll see that Master Jezalu kind of starts to try and follow him to get his attention. Clearly speaking, she clearly knows him. She's saying his name repeatedly, and he will gesture and dismiss her. Like, clearly, I don't want to talk to you now.
If possible, I'd put an hand on her arm and say, not now, child.
But
not
he's,
now, child.
This is my chance. I can return to his service.
You will have an opportunity to talk to him, but now is not the time.
You're right. I must compose myself. I must get my case ready. Thank you, Master Kinley.
If I could be of assistance in listening to your case, I would be happy to do so.
Yes, perhaps we could speak before dinner. Would that yes?
In the garden, perhaps.
Yes, absolutely. Ravim, I think you see Togan kind of his eyes just staring at Ruvasha as Ruvasha goes into the temple and he just kind of stands there.
I think Ravine sidles up next to Togan and says, "Do you know the general? The Grand Master, the Grand Master Count?"
Killer. Killed Master.
Are you certain?
Questioned? Questioned Count? We questioned Count? Next day, sent on mission. Master not return. Others die. I survive. Killer. And you see him start walking towards the temple. And now, like the grief and the anger that you felt, and kind of more grief than anger, you can feel that that has shifted.
We got the anger coming up more.
Yes, absolutely.
I think Ravine will follow. I think okay. He's worried about Togan and what he might do.
And I think that there is that bit where, like, when you get to the temple and then Togan does, like, look around and he sees you and maybe shakes himself out of it a little. That you're there and suddenly he's a little more conscious of the environment. So I think you kind of talk him down a bit, as it were. Sanaya, you see the others are kind of standing around, not sure what to do. You see Silil is like, she looks a little panicked. And you see her kind of go over and talk to, like, one of the shuttle pilots who's there. And you see her doing to the shuttle pilot. And
I'll listen in.
Okay. She says, yep, nothing. No, like, just no, we'll talk to you later about things. And they're speaking a little bit in Togruta, in the particular smuggler's cant that is used amongst the Togruta. And the pilot there will just kind of nod, but will say, well, there are arrangements that have already been made. So deal with it. And Silil will go, I'll figure something out. And
I'll catch up with her after she's left the pilot.
Yeah.
If that's okay.
Well, that was different, huh?
Yeah. That, well, sometimes, I don't know. This guy, that's not cool.
Yeah, I feel bad for Grandmaster D. He's always been very level-headed. Yes, let's say level-headed. You know, accommodating. Yes, accommodating. Okay. All right. Well, I should probably go down to the warehouse and get some things in order.
You need any, you know, someone to be meditating somewhere and maybe vocalize their thoughts if something untoward happens?
Let me put that in my back pocket, but I appreciate your offer there, and I may take you up on your aid later on. Thank you.
We're all connected in the forest, and sometimes people who are strong in
Absolutely.
the forest tend to forget that others are too.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. Little bead of sweat on her forehead there. And she will head off. Vaunt, what is it that you want to do here as people kind of drift off and Ravasha goes inside?
I want to approach Lady Zosa. He's probably trailing along in Divash's wake, right? My lady.
Yes,
Zosa,
hello. May I help you?
You're the Count's assistant, are
I
you?
am Count Ruvasha's attaché. I am here to help with the administration and the handover of duties that is occurring here. Yes.
So I should speak to you before I speak to the Count.
Absolutely. If you'd like to make an appointment, I can certainly make those arrangements for you. Your name is, and you'll see here she pulled up a tab.
Dotas, and Dotas.
Dotis, I see, I see. I see insubordination.
Disagreement.
Let me append that. And disagreement.
That'll do. I was hoping I could make an appointment with the Count tomorrow. Well, it's at least convenience, really. I think I'd like a new ma I'd like to be assigned a new master.
I will certainly speak with him. I know that he has a set of people that he wishes to speak to today, and but I will make arrangements for you to speak with the Count tomorrow. Does that seem appropriate?
That seems fine. I mean, I agree with what the Count said, you know, and I think it's a good opportunity to set other things right as well, you know, other chances for us to move forward. And I'm intrigued, and I'd like to support him in his mission here.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I think you will not find it. Think you will find it a good choice to make to ally yourself with Count Ravasha. He won't always be here. This is a brief interlude that the Jedi Council has assigned to the Grand Master. But soon he will be back up on the battlefield, and those who do well by him, can find themselves in good, strong positions.
Yes, I'd like to be close to Master Ravasha, sure.
Excellent. And she'll make a note, and she seems very pleased.
And I will leave, thinking of the stories that I have heard of Ravasha, and wondering how such a person is so elevated within the Jedi Council, given their
Absolutely.
squeamishness otherwise.
Exactly. I want to give each of you a chance to call a scene here in a moment, but I think we are at the 90-minute mark. So I do want to take a break here. So let's take, it's about 27 after, so let's take about an 8-minute break, go to about 35, and then we'll come back. Does that seem reasonable?
Could we have it until 40 after the hour?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, we'll do that until 40 after the hour. So let's start with Lorne Killian in kind of the aftermath of this, that afternoon slash evening. What is it that you want to do?
I want to seek out Grandmaster D.
Okay.
Because this is quite a shocking development, Grandmaster, and
I think I actually, just so we can set this up. I think that you will go to the Grand Master's office, and I think as you were there, you will hear a deferring and obsequious D. I mean, he's clearly trying to get a sense of what's happening here, speaking with Ruvasha. I think I actually want you to make, even though we don't have a clue, but I think this is worth making. Since we have those moves, an exploration role here.
fair enough. Fair enough. Let me think then. What is the best? I think it is probably reason
Okay.
to make sense of what I'm hearing. Yeah?
Let's have you roll.
2d6 plus one. 5, 1, 6.
Six. So I think you will hear.
Oh, hang on.
Yes. Yes.
I can, there's a word for this. I can
Mark, call on the
mark.
force. Call.
I can call the force. That's the phrase I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that I will call on a virtue of the Jedi,
Okay.
serenity. Because I think I am, at the moment, I'm carrying a lot of fear. And so I focus on that sense of calmness so I can focus.
What's a brief flash we see of you in the past with when you were able to keep your serenity?
I think it is the last time my brother and I spoke. And it is the funeral of the master who trained us both. Not at the same time.
Mm.
He trained me, then he trained my brother. I graduated first, if you will. I could see the jealousy and anger in Kodo that I'd been chosen first. That required me to kind of stay very calm.
I think you will overhear. This is, I'm going to kind of set your study thing here. You hear him, he's clearly talking with D about reviewing people, sending people back, and he says, "You can choose what you wish to do, D. You can remain here, and when I am elevated once again, you can retake your position, or you can leave and go and do whatever little accounting duties you wish to do elsewhere. I don't care either way. Because you have failed in your mission here to assess things, and we have evidence that there is a Sith among your number." And D sputters and starts to say something, and Ravasha says, "You may leave now." And you will see D comes out. He steps, you see him compose himself. He is an Umbaran. They pride themselves on sort of amount of protocol and composure, and he will see you. Oh, Master Killian.
I wanted to simply offer a sense of my disappointment that you appear to be being superseded. I have found you to have created an environment here which is what I think I needed.
The council is wise. The decisions that they make see the greater picture of things. They understand the ways of the force and the web of those connections. So the choice that they have made, I can understand and sympathize with. Yes, I'm sure this will only be for the best. I just hope it does not interfere with your development.
I hope, Grandmaster D, that you will consider staying during this period of change. I think there is an opportunity for you to offer some continuity, that many here, I think, will value.
And he'll look at you. And I think that's the moment that you see the mask slip for just a moment. And he says, I'm not sure there's room here for both of us. But I, that is a decision to be made in the future. I appreciate your sympathy, Master Killian. I will speak with you later. Sanaya, I'll give you a chance to call a scene, check on a thing, do something.
I'm curious about this person, this woman they brought with her. Them, the one with the head thing.
Yeah. You'll head down to, they have a pretty full suite medical bay.
Yeah.
You know, with all the classic setup. It's not that much used, though there are a couple of the Jedi that have healer training, like Master Arrant. There is a medical bot, like one of the ones that runs on the roof with the arms and kind of then goes back in this little closet. And it seems to be like running a checkup, and that woman is kind of seated there on the table and will look up at you and will say, hello?
Oh, hello. I am Jedi Knight Sanaya Dal, and my Dewey.
I am called Kirotha. Kirothu. Yes. I am a Jedi.
Oh. Nice. And interesting. So are you here to recover from the troubles?
Something happened to me. It's very hard to remember now. But something happened, and then I was on a transport and they sent me here. They said this is a place to recover. They said, do I have to sleep here, or will I have a room, or what?
Oh, we'll find a room for you. You can sleep here. There are quarters for people who need to be monitors. I don't know if that's the case with you. But I'm pretty sure we can find you a room here.
The others, the tall man and his assistant, they didn't, I mean, they barely spoke to me on the trip. I would like a room and a bed.
Okay, come with me.
And she'll follow along with you. You can tell as she walks along with you that like she's clearly processing things a little slowly, and everything kind of seems like a surprise. And she'll say, are you injured?
Oh, not really, no. Just my heart a little broken, but that's...
Did they give you a new one?
No.
Oh.
No, not...
They gave me a new one.
They gave you... Oh. Well, it's a good thing that they can do that, right?
They said I was a hero.
Oh, I'm sure they're right.
So what do we do here?
Meditate, I guess. A train.
Okay.
Yeah, you probably need some reconvalescent training, right? Some people make music.
Oh. I don't know how to do that. Maybe I do, but I don't remember it.
You don't remember a lot, right?
No.
Don't strain yourself. It'll come back.
They said I did a great thing.
I'm sure you did.
And you can find her rooms there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to put her close to you or by somebody else? Or okay.
Yeah, I mean... I will inform the medical droid where she is, because somebody will come looking for her.
Medical droid just registered.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah,
okay.
And you can set her up.
What I would like to do while we're walking, I would just like to feel for her in the Force, because she said she was a Jedi, and I think you'd notice something like that.
Sure.
Right?
Let's have you roll that with light side, I think.
Okay. Light side. Okay. And I think I'm rolling that with force because, you know.
What are you afraid could go wrong with this as you kind of reach out to do this?
I'm afraid that they're, well, I mean, she's tra clearly traumatized, and I'm afraid that I might catch a bit too much of her mental state.
Okay, I like that. So go ahead and roll. I think you're rolling with force, right?
Yes, I'm rolling with force. Oh, wow, it's a three.
So I think you start to do that and you kind of reach out in that way that says, like, kind of just try to touch your force. And when you touch that, you are thrown against the wall. Like immediately force hurled hard against the wall. Mark a condition.
Can I use the force thing, that flashback thing?
Absolutely.
Oh, I will do that. I think in that case I'll go with peace.
Okay. And what's
Yeah.
the flashback you have with that?
I think flashback of peace is when I was, yeah, when I was young, and I was bad at some of the stuff that we were supposed to be good at, like the learning and the history and things. I got bored easily. And so I was sent to, I think it was Master Yoda, to be disciplined, basically. And Master Yoda, he was taking me to the garden, and he was telling me stories about other Padawans who had messed up stuff. And that kind of set me. And that was so interesting. It was so nice having someone who wasn't just seeing this messed up little Padawan kid that I was. And yeah, that was a very peaceful interlude.
So we'll read that as you kind of solving a problem, which is the kind of, and I think it is that you'll reach out and you'll feel that pushback, like whatever training she's had with the force has been to kind of conceal and hide her force, and there's a pushback reaction to it. And I think you realize that, and you've heard about this, that sometimes the Jedi are sent deep undercover. And she's clearly someone who did that. Like she's got that feeling of that concealment, even from herself. Like she doesn't even realize it when you kind of hold back against her force push. She doesn't even realize that that's happening.
Okay.
And she'll say, "Are you okay?"
Oh, yes, I am fine. I just, you know. That's your room here.
Oh, good. I should lay down.
Yes, I think you should. And if do you want, and then I will talk to her about having something to eat,
Oh,
some
yes.
getting some amenities, I think the word is.
Okay.
To her,
Yeah.
just being friendly and trying to radiate this calmness.
All right. I think that's perfect. Vant, I want to give you a chance to call the scene here in the afternoon evening.
I mean, do we know? I think it's only Lorne who knows this idea that there's a Sith among us, right?
It's the only one who's heard that.
Yeah. I will seek out I think. Oh, Sahlil Kib is a very interesting figure. You know what? I will seek out Sahlil Kib.
Okay. She's down kind of in the back parts of the place. You have heard that she's the person you go to when you need something. When you go down there, she's usually pretty relaxed, calm, feet up kind of person. She is moving things around kind of hurriedly and doing things. And when you pop in, like her head pops up and she's like, Hey, Master.
What then?
Vant, Master Vant. What do you need? Soap? Something else? Yes, just
I'm good. I'm
I
good.
wanted to, oh, I know. I wanted to recheck the inventory and rearrange things because you got a new person in charge, so they might come and check things. I want everything to be absolutely spaceship shape,
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and I hear that, well, you know what Count Bash's famous for, right?
No, he just seemed like a person who would check things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hear he personally went through every single cargo hauler and searched them for weapons, food, for anything that might help the separatists on
that,
Tanib.
That red that is on her face turns a kind of a pink there as the blood drains from her face. Really?
Yeah. But, you know, maybe you might need some help arranging your inventory. You know, just making sure that it's all in the right space.
I want you to make a light side roll, I think, here. I don't think we're necessarily under pressure yet, but you're trying to convince her to maybe open up or be willing to work with you. What do you want to roll that with?
I think that's presence. I think that's charming, intimidating, or catching. I think that what I'm doing here is I'm trying to have her owe me a favor.
Okay.
I do not have, because I'm from my parents' house, so I don't have access to that yet.
Okay.
Well, so then, if you'd like on my behalf, I would be more than happy.
What are you rolling with?
Presence plus one.
Plus one. Okay. So I'm going to roll these. I'm just going to hit this 2d6 button and we'll add one to it. So that is a 7. So she says, you know, there is a favor you could do for me. I've got some things that aren't on the inventory that it would be great if someone could hold them for me. Just for a while, just to make things go smoothly during the transition, if you take my drift.
Yeah, I get that.
And she'll kind of go behind this desk and she'll pull out this metal box with a very elaborate code seal on it. And she'll say, yeah, if you could just tuck this away in your room for a couple of days, I will owe you one.
No problem. Straight to my room. I'll find a safe place for this.
Excellent. Excellent. I do owe you one, master.
Just call me Vant.
Vant. Okay.
And I'm going to actually head over to the shuttle bay. I'm going to try this metal box into the like a hatch or something on the outside of the shuttle, because the last place anyone would look would be Master of Ash's own shuttle.
That is going to be a night side roll.
Makes sense.
Or dark side roll, rather. And the descriptions of the attributes, actually the first character column, I've got hover overs. Apparently I forgot to carry the hover overs to other people's things.
Well, you know, Vant is blessed with
deep insight.
Yes. Cool. I think that is going to be I think it's going to be vitality, because I think what he's going to do is he's going to slip through and clamber up the outside of the shuttle and wedge it between like something there.
Would you like to use your camo weather cloak to give you advantage?
That is exactly what I was thinking of doing. Yes.
Perfect. Roll me 3d6.
Can you roll me 3d6, please?
Oh, gosh. Here we are. 1, 2, 3d6. So that's a 7 plus 1 is an 8.
Okay.
So I think you do that, but I think there is.
I would like to invite you.
Okay. So rather to solve this problem completely, I like that. Yeah. Okay. What virtue are you invoking here?
I think I'm invoking the a virtue of the Jedi, and somebody I resent for overindulging in this virtue. So I think that it's my flashback to the argument with my new master, Karen Geek, a Juros, who is very piously telling me about, you know, that as we argue, as this Hutti's slave trader ship docked in the same port as us, and you know that these are all people who've been taken from conflict zones, from places where the separatists, you know, the wars have driven the refugees out, and they've been taken. You know, he's talking about the balance of the force, all things, you know, there's not the way of the Jedi to solve all of the galaxy's problems. Mm-hmm. We must serve, not our own righteousness. And, you know, Vance, I suppose it's easy to be at peace within the temple. It's easy to talk of peace, you know, when you've got something left there, when you've got a home, right. When you're not under somebody else's collar.
Perfect.
That's fine. You go back to your quarters, my young knight, yeah. And think on the ways of the Force, and then just the lightsaber.
And I think as you, in your camo cloak and climbing up on this thing, you will find a spot and pop it open, and this thing fits in there perfectly, like it was made for that. Like, in fact, this came out of there maybe an hour ago, and he will slide it into this little smuggler spot there. You're muted.
I think that upon learning that, I go, and I smile, and I don't put it back in there. I quietly drop off the back of the thing, and I go into the garden, and you hear the crack of a lightsaber as I use my hidden lightsaber to carve a chunk of the ground out and then slide it into the crevice under there. And it's hidden there, and I'm, you know, it can be, but, you know, I'm, I'll go back to Celeb Clib, and I'll say, interesting, you know, I saw something just like that on the shuttle.
I don't know what you're talking about. No idea. No.
Me either, Celeb, me either. But maybe that's two you owe me.
She grimaces. It's only a Togruta can with those teeth. Oh. Ravim, I want to give you a chance to call a scene here.
Yeah, I think I see Ravim in the archives, and he's surrounded by all these images floating around. He's doing all this research on the Grand Master Count. What's his name? Ravasha. Ravasha, and also the connection to Master Togan's master.
Mm-hmm.
But as he's doing it, he initially tries doing it, you know, just logically, but as he's doing it, he kind of, there's so much information about these men, particularly about Ravasha,
mm-hmm.
It's overwhelming to his mind, and he goes into kind of a trance, like a seeing trance, and he's going to try to use the Force to find some coherence and see if he can see a pattern here of some conspiracy of some sort.
Do you want to use your initiate move, or do you want to roll the investigate?
Oh, I could use my initiate.
Yeah.
The three times I may declare a rumor or secret that you've heard about a new NPC. Let's start with a roll.
Absolutely.
And then I can always like sure. Pile it on.
Absolutely. What do you want to roll that with?
So it would be an exploration move, right?
Yeah, you could do that with force if you wanted.
I think it makes sense force, since I was going to do reason, but then I think this has turned into force.
Yeah.
And so it's just 2 + 1, right?
Yep.
Oh, and if I want to give advantage from...
an item, you can mark
an
that.
Item, maybe that little holocron that I have.
That's great.
Okay. So that gives advantage?
Yes.
I just put in another die, right? All right, let's see what happens.
So that is an 8, Plus one is a nine.
Nine.
So what is your question? Because we don't have a clue yet, because we haven't quite had the murder quite yet. But what is it you want to know?
I think what he really wants to know is whether Ruvasha really did engineer the death of Togen's master.
Boy, you look at it and you can see the notes where Togen's master clearly questioned Ruvasha's orders several times. And then after that last time, he dispatched Togen's master and Togen and some other people to deal with a situation that was supposedly dangerous, but it got more dangerous. And there's enough things there that suggest that Ruvasha knew that it was going to get darker than it was and didn't warn them. Put him in harm's way. Didn't swing the lightsaber, but knew that the lightsaber was coming. And yeah, it definitely points that direction.
And I think then, because Ravim is like, feeling in with the force, and maybe this is where I might use the initiative move. He senses a motive in Ruvasha for this and the motive is strangely not just power, not power or ambition, which is what he would have assumed, but revenge somehow. There's some not revenge towards the master himself, but a revenge plan of some sort that he has,
You can
that is
tell,
motivating him.
I think you can feel that something happened to Ruvasha and he was called onto the table by the council. And this was the task he was given, this backwater sanitarium for Jedi he was assigned to take care of. But at the same time, clearly, Ruvasha believes that someone here passed information to the council, gave them something, and that's why Ruvasha, like,
Okay,
there's
gotcha.
that, like, there's someone here he plans to
Do this
cause
right.
problems for.
Okay, so that's one of my initiative moves. Okay.
So there is a meal that evening. They're gathering. People are all kind of upset. Ruvasha doesn't come down. You do see him meet with a few of the other Jedi, though notably not Master Jizelu, there. He will note Lorne. He clearly gets records of the various Jedi from the library, calls the librarian down, makes the librarian run at his beck and call for a while. And then it gets late.
Does he meet Kodo?
Hmm?
Does he meet Kodo? Like Lawrence twin brother. Just...
Oh, yes.
Oh, cool.
Though that, like, he calls Kodo down, but he seems friendly about it. Like a friendly invitation to talk to your brother, Lorne.
Of course.
And I think that we cut to the next morning. And in that dramatic happenstance way that happens, I think the four of you are moving along the hallway. When you will see the doors to the infirmary kind of fly open, and you will see the maintenance droid Wim come racing out so fast that they smash against the far side of the hallway and then spin around crazily and then starts beeping in manic alarm. And as the four of you come down, as the maintenance droid is like kind of still freaking out, you'll step in and you will see in the med bay in there, you will see the Bacta tanks and you will see this figure upside down in one of the Bacta tanks, no breather on them. You will see Count Ruvasha upside down, drowned in one of these Bacta tanks.
Hit the medical emergency alarm.
You will hit that, and they'll see the med bot come out and kind of swing around. And please state the nature of your medical emergency.
I'll force lift the guy out of the Bacta tank.
Okay.
He might not be dead. You're right.
Yeah. Let's have you make a light side roll here to see how much evidence you disturb.
Yeah, maybe I will. But, he could still be alive.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you want to roll at with your force for this?
I think the vitality.
Okay.
Strengths.
Yeah. So concentrate. Lift that out.
Okay. Mom, nice, please. It's an eight.
So I think it does take a bit, and you lift him out, and one of the things you'll immediately realize as that the lid was closed on it. You kind of have to move that aside. You pull him out, and one of the things is that the liquid that's in Bacta tanks, they can change the density of it. And as it's pulled out, someone clearly set it to be gelatinous, like the thickness of jelly. And so it all kind of sticks to him, and then it there's get this slosh of clear goo that splatters all over the floor. And I think as you do that and set him down on one of the tables, he doesn't move at all. Vaunt?
Wow. Yes. We don't have a new Master of the Temple? Why was he in the Bacta tank?
Upside down in the Bacta tank.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've been in the Bacta. You don't go upside down, do you?
No, and somebody closed the lid, I think.
And normally, there's a whole harness that you lower down that they attach to, and there's a breather mask. None of these were present.
He's also wearing all of his clothes, which is strange.
Yeah.
Big old wet cloak splattered.
I'd like to check the count for physical injuries, any, like signs of a struggle, anything like that.
Absolutely. This feels like exploration.
Yes, that's something. It's a exploration when you search for a clue, kind of research. Otherwise, yeah, and I think this would be reason. I think is the one.
So that seems reasonable.
Plus one.
Oh, if you could roll. Oh gosh, I'm sorry.
I should have said. You just turned away. I said it, and I thought, "Oh, that was you looking over the dice from the page." But
So you may ask a question. You rolled a four. You may ask a question, and the GM's going to make a move.
I'm going to mark another virtue.
Okay.
Shot right, may as well mark all these virtues.
Absolutely. After the first two, you mark a condition, but that's okay.
But then I can start marking Path of the Sith, right? And I can mark two of those.
No. It's two total.
Okay. Well, that doesn't change my opinion.
I know.
Yeah.
You're losing money, not spending
Not even.
those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Someone I. I will mark the. The path of the Sith. And I'll mark attachment. Secretly, Vant has been sending credits back to Ryloth to his siblings. Their parents died in a sun in a solar storm when they were young. He went off to the Jedi Temple. His sister is raised him and is struggling to raise her own children. And you know, Ryloth is not a kind place to those who can't sustain themselves. And the Jedi know have no need of material things. So, you know, any creds that he finds, any things like that that he's come across in his mission, somehow find their way into a transfer to a Ryloth bank account.
So, you will examine the body, and this is a 7 to 9. And I do think that you get this goo all over you. Like it's hard to check this out without that. So I imagine that there is a bit of having that. But you will see that there is a mark on the back of the neck there, and kind of looks like maybe was jabbed in and has kind of broken off a syringe. And you can look at it, and there is a thing called Axinth S. It's a drug that's used to suppress force powers. It's used here. In the clinic and elsewhere for people who don't have control, who've lost control, who have had problems with that, it's used to dampen that down. It's also used to contain people with force powers. And it definitely looks, this is the clue, like he was dosed with that. Does that seem fair?
Seems more than fair. I'm probably like tracing my hands over there, and here there's a needle embedded directly in his neck. Accent S, and I look around and I say, I guess there must be a stockpile of that here in the clinic.
And I think the complication is that the doors come open, and you will see Grandmaster D is like sees all of you, sees dead Count Ravasha on the table, and is like, and you're muted.
We just found him like that.
It is not what you think, Master D.
He was murdered, I think.
I'll.
But not
Not
by
by
us.
okay.
Obviously.
He just kind of stands there. You see him like clearly trying to process this. Ravine, what are you doing in the scene as this situation is maybe changed a little bit, but you've still got this body here and this definitely murder scene.
So this is the medical bay or the
Yeah.
medical
We saw it earlier with Kirotha.
Oh, right, with Kirotha. But I don't know that she was here. I think maybe Ravim has gone over to some of the consoles and is trying to figure out if there was any medical records. Do they keep track of what's the drug called?
An accent.
Anaxynth. Who because they usually keep good control of that because it's dangerous to Jedi. And so seeing if he can figure out whether anyone has tried to access the stockpiles of that recently.
I think you can check that pretty easily here. I think you'll see that there is a locked cabinet for that. And you know, you can kind of check the records, and it looks like all of that is here. But there is a note here that additional storage, additional quantities of this are to be found down in the storehouse managed by Sabeel Kib. Does that seem like a fair piece of information there?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Master Killian, The Grand Master is kind of flummoxed, and it's like, I, do you know who?
Be calm.
Thank you, Master Killian. You say he was murdered. Do you know who killed him?
My colleagues here perhaps overstate it. We found him upside down in the tank. There is some evidence that he has been dosed with Axinth S. We know no more at this point, but it must be investigated, Master D.
Master Killian, you are the most senior of the Jedi present here, with the exception of Master Vex. And with no offense to Master Vex, I do not wish to put any task of this sort in his hands. Perhaps you, and gestures to the others and your colleagues, could look into this. That would I need to, and tell and the. I need to go and have a message sent to the council. Can I put this in your hands? He says, with a certain edge of desperation to his voice.
I think I catch an eye of Vance and Aya and Ravin as if to say, well.
Well, we should
Speak.
find.
Let us be clear, my friends.
Yes.
We step into dark waters here. None
Oh,
of
yeah.
us came here because we were at our best. I caution you.
Well, I will leave this in your hands. I will go out, and you see him go out in the hall. And there are clearly some other people that have gathered, and he starts to go down and talk to them, and you'll hear his attaché's raised voice, like, "What's going on? Where's I can't find the Grand Master." And then there's some other Jedi murmuring, and then the doors whoosh, kind of shut and cut off the sound of that out in the hallway.
Who is best placed to interrogate the medical bay's surveillance systems?
The droid?
They don't have surveillance systems here. This is a very old temple. They have a medical droid, but no one woke it up.
Who is best placed to seek out the maintenance droid who was here before us?
Who do you think can speak droid?
Speak some bachi.
Okay.
Then,
Anaya?
Yeah, I've spoken to droids, sure. I mean, it's helpful to get along with maintenance droids sometimes, if you want to
Maintain things.
maintain things. Yes, exactly, maintain things. And yeah, I can probably talk to it.
Then, can I ask you to seek it out
Sure.
and discover what, if anything, it knows?
Yeah, one thing, just so you know, I've talked to the woman with a head wound, and I think she might have been, she might not be, she's probably not aware of it. She doesn't remember a lot of stuff, but she might have been an undercover spy and been damaged in this. I don't know what's going on in her brain. I don't think she would potentially harm someone, but I don't know what's going on in her brain.
At this point, no one here had a reason to like the Count. Everyone could be a suspect, and I think I will cast my beady eyes across the three of you.
Do you mention the Sith?
The reason, my friends, that I warned you of deep and dark waters is that I believed that the Count thought there was a Sith hiding here.
A real Sith hiding here. What for?
We could only assume to undermine the order that should be the most important thing to all of us.
Master Ravina, sorry, you go ahead, Jose.
Ravina's standing over the corpse, and he turns when you say that, and he says, "That may have been what Ravasha said to you. But I know that he came here seeking a personal enemy of his, not one of the Order more generally."
This gets more complex.
I think that's a good, like, end point for that sort of exchange. What I want to do is like a once around for scene investigation or talking to people, that kind of thing, giving you a chance as we kind of cut to the montage of you checking things out. We'll take you last, Master Lawrence, since you kind of set this up. So Sanaya, can I start with you? Do you want to go talk to Wim, the maintenance droid, or someone else?
No, I think if they don't speak basic, then that's not particularly helpful, and I have to do it. So, yeah, fine.
You will go find the maintenance droid. I think you will see he's with a librarian. The librarian's trying to calm him down. When you come in, Master Grogus will nod to you, and the maintenance droid will roll over to you and will say, and I'm not going to even try to do the beep boop or anything like that. I'm not Rich Rogers. But it will say, was that a dead person?
Yes, that was a dead person.
I went in to do my morning check, clean the floors, and there was someone in the tank, and they were not in the correct orientation.
Yep, that was not where they were supposed to be.
Mm.
So, yes. Anything else that stood out there? Because, you know, that person we need to investigate, and I'm currently the one talking to you because you were the first on the scene, and I just need you to tell me anything out of the ordinary that you noticed.
Yes. I've never been a witness. Let's have you roll exploration here.
Cool. And I think I'm rolling it with presence, right?
That feels right.
Okay.
And again, if you have an item that you want to mark to give yourself advantage, you can do that.
Let me check. I have a vague idea what I could use. I think, you know, I have this Celtronium perfume that is a nice, and also for a droid can serve as a really, really lovely lubricant. And
okay.
You will smell very nice, and people will react very favorably to you. So,
and let's have you roll with advantage then.
It's a seven.
That's a seven. Wim will say, before I noticed the, would you call it a corpse? It was a corpse, right?
Yeah. At a certain point, it was a corpse. Not sure when that happened.
The other robots call them meat bags, but we just corpse. I was cleaning, as one does, and there was, and they'll like open a little slot And this will come out like a little tray, and you will see that there are broken bits of holocron crystal. I'll say that was on the floor. I swept it up. It got jammed up. I hate that. People shouldn't leave big things on the floor. It's very bad
No.
calibration.
No, can I take these?
Yes.
Cool. I'll just lift them up and try to just not really put them together because you can't repair them like this, I think, but just to see if there's stuff missing.
It looks like he has most of it. I mean,
Okay.
it might be possible to repair, but it's going to be tough.
Okay. That's okay.
So
But
that is our clue, is a broken
yeah.
holocron crystal.
And these things don't break easily, right?
No.
No. Okay. Fine. Yeah, then I'll thank the droid and
You're
tell him what a
welcome.
good, yeah, you did a good job cleaning this up, but maybe next time you see a dead person, call people first before cleaning stuff up.
To be fair, I did not see the corpse until after I had started sweeping.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'll take that lubricant now.
Yes, I will slather him with lubricant.
Like all of the motor sounds like quiet on it, but it also has this delicious fragrance as it rolls along. Vant, what do you want to do?
I would like to speak to Master Arryns. She's a healer. She's probably among everyone here, the one who knows the most about Axinth S.
You'll find her in the dining area. Like the Jedi know that something has gone on. Grandmaster D has been like vague about that. He's apparently told the attaché. So news is sort of kind of getting around here, and she will greet you, Master Vant.
Errands, and I'll bow. I was hoping I could have a word. You've heard of the tragedy?
There are rumors that the new Grand Master has passed on.
Yes. Although, so hang on a minute. It's not every Jedi does the whole disappearing into nothing but rogues today at this
Right.
point. I forget that's a gnarl in the continuity, isn't it? I say yes, but not in peaceful fashion, it seems. I was wondering, what do you know of an Axinth S?
It's used for containment, for suppression. There are Jedi who lose control, and it can be useful in bringing that back in line so that they can center themselves again. And she'll look around. It is also on occasion used by those who wish to numb themselves in their connection with the Force. I am
From the
aware.
pain.
Some people find that being connected is a painful thing, or the Force reaches them in a difficult way. And so small, consistent dosages of Anax can help alleviate that.
And has it been helping you?
No, that is not my particular foible. I have others. But I do know that there are a couple of Jedi here who indulge.
Master Killian? I had wondered why he struggled so much with the force exercises.
No, Master Killian, I do not believe so. Either of them. I do not wish to speak out of turn, but I know that Master Vex has had a history of dealing with the worst aspects of the force anomalies. And Master Honors, given his tragedy, has tried to cut himself off from others.
And they've been given this by the temple?
No, but there are ways to obtain things.
Yes, I think I know what you mean. Thank you, Master.
Yes, I hope that I've been helpful.
Oh, I always, and you know, and what is it? One good turn deserves another, I think. So, I'm in your debt. Now to see someone who's in mine.
And she will nod to you. Ravim, what is it that you wish to do?
Oh, sorry. I think back at the crime scene, and Alan, you can say whether you witnessed this or not.
Well, I would like a scene with you, shortly, but that okay, can so, be after this.
Yeah. Well, you can come in with this one, or if you like. I'm over the corpse, the meat bag, and the goo, the bacta, is coming out of all his orifices, kind of draining slowly out of his mouth, his ears, even his eyes too. And I think Ravim puts his hand out, let's say to his eyes, to his eyes, and it almost looks like tears are coming out of his the open eyes of Ravasha, and he touches the bhakta coming out of his eyes and then puts it up to his tongue and tastes it, and he's trying to see if he can get an image through the force of the last thing that Ravasha saw before he died.
Interesting. Let's have you roll that with force. Exploration with force.
It's exploration, okay, with force. And then that's a plus one. It's 2D, and I will give that a shot. It's an 8. So on an 8, what happens? Let's see.
So you will get a clue, but I think there is a complication here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you a clue. I think that first, the clue is this, is you don't see what Ravasha saw, but you will hear Ravasha speaking. And he's saying, you are not who you say you are. Now, I don't care about that unless you get in my... And he starts to say way, and then he gives a little, and it cuts off.
Yeah, so I'll just retcon that. I took the bhakta out of his ears instead.
Okay. but here's the thing is, I think that as you do that, like you feel the essence of Ravasha here as you get that. And I think I'm going to have you make mark a condition. What is it for kind of touching this unpleasant soul?
It would be
nauseous, unbalanced, frightened. What do you think?
Nauseous makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's you know,
After what I
because
just did.
yeah, that and kind of the flash of Ravasha, you know, like with the information you found out yesterday, like it kind of all puts together. And he was speaking in so haughtily, like he had no fear of whoever it was. He was clearly, you know, telling them that he knew they were, and he was what that they weren't who they said they were, and he was clearly going to use that to his advantage.
Yeah, sickened maybe. I'll put sickened
Yeah, I like that.
in.
So Lauren, I think you'll see Ravim do this, and then clearly maybe take a step
yeah,
back.
I think I take him by the arm and the back and just move him onto the corridor outside.
And I'm stumbling a bit.
Yeah, you know, and if you know that dry heave or whatever that we might see, and Ravim, this doesn't happen to me often anymore, but I feel the force is strong in you. But there is a confusion around it. You seem haunted, and I see something of myself in you. How can I help?
So Ravim is kind of up against the wall of the corridor, and also leaning on you, on Master Killian. And he says, he doesn't usually speak of this, but something about the weakness or the moment of it, he says, "Master, I am deeply haunted by premonitions of disaster for our order. No one listens to me. I am dismissed by the other masters, and it feels like something here is part of this vision I have, but I feel confused. I can't escape the visions, and I can't seem to act on them in any meaningful way. Can you help me?"
I can listen to you, Ravim, and I suppose I'm opening the door here on you sharing a burden.
Yeah. It feels like he has. Like, I think he has shared that burden here. Do you want to mark a 20 or traces to kind of in your exchange back? Because if you do, you get two picks rather than just one, Master Killian. Because you
Oh,
are the
sorry.
one, because you're the one who's leading this off. You get to
Oh,
kind of.
Okay, sorry, right. I thought I was looking to benefit Ravim, I suppose, but I see, right.
Yeah. So,
Then.
and you know, when I say clear your paperwork condition, it could be for you or for him.
Okay. Then I think that we see that in my hand, I have a small sphere, a meditation sphere, that just helps me calm myself. And I think I will clear for the moment my fear.
Okay.
So I've cleared frightened, but I will ask the other player a question about their Jedi. They must answer truthfully, and completely.
As a player, I answer, right?
You answer on behalf of Ravim, and my question is, why is the best interests of the Jedi Order really at the heart, deep in your heart, Ravim? I'm probing for whether that moment of weakness is a moment of weakness, or is it a significant fracture?
Okay, I thought I understood what your question was, but could you just repeat it one more time for me?
I guess I sense, you know, I've told you I sense the force is strong. I've told you
Right.
that I sense that there is a a wobble in it. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is your moment of weakness around the dark side.
Right.
Was it a moment of weakness or was it a significant fracture?
Okay. Yeah. So you're asking
Yeah.
about that. I don't know how to respond. You're asking me to quantify the break or the lure into the dark side. What I can say is that I'm still haunted by memories of that break. And even when you mentioned the Sith earlier, I felt and my anger rise around the betrayal and the idea that they're everywhere, hiding in plain sight, pretending like we can trust them, being our friends and our comrades, and yet always ready to undermine and destroy us and manipulate us. And I am still plagued by anger and resentment around that. So
If
maybe
you
the fracture.
if you feel that at all in these difficult times, promise me you will come to me.
I will, Master. Thank you.
And I'm happy for that to be my scene.
Okay, I like that. That's good. Sanaya, you've talked to the maintenance robot. You can tell as you're moving around that people are like, now the word has gotten around about what has happened, and people are less like clumped together, more like sitting apart from one another, maybe watching others with suspicion, that kind of thing. You'll definitely get that nervousness is runs through here. So what do you want to do?
I think I want to check on the what's her name? Sorry. Kairosu.
Yeah.
I would love to check on her because they dragged her here, and now I don't know. You know, I know this is maybe not investigating. Maybe it is investigating.
No, I think
a little,
that's fine.
But I just want to check on her. That's the main thing.
So you'll go down to her room, and she is there. You see that she clearly has gone to the. To the dining area and gotten food and wasn't sure what was going on, could sense that there was a weird atmosphere and has come back with that food. She will look up at you and she will say, "Oh, Sanaya."
Yes, that's me. Hello.
Hello.
Kairosu.
Yes, that is who I am. That is who I am.
I wanted to check on you. Did you hear what happened to Grandmaster Count Russia?
Someone said there was a death.
Yeah, it was. Well, it did not look very natural what happened to him.
So he was killed?
My suspicion, yeah. And I will keep myself a little open in case I re-traumatize her. I don't want to go over the thing.
That will raise questions, won't it?
Yeah, it really does. It really does. We're trying to figure out what really happened. If somebody did this to him, if so, who and why?
Well, if I can help.
I don't know if you can. How? This might sound weird, but how did you come to be with him? I mean, he it was a little strange that the way he dragged you here.
I was in the care facility, and they told me that I was a hero and that something had happened. And then they said that I was to be taken to a place of recovery. And then I found myself on board the shuttle. And Ravasha spoke to me. He clearly knew me, but I don't remember him. And they brought me here.
What did he tell you? Or what did he talk to you about?
He said that I would be spending the rest of my life here.
Did he sound angry?
Are you angry right now?
No.
Because I have a hard time telling now.
Oh. Are you taking any medications?
The medbot gave me some medications.
Can I check on that?
Sure. There, and he'll gesture to what has been dispensed there.
I'm curious if she was on this. I forgot the name of the drug.
An Anaxynth. Yeah, there's definitely some Anaxynth there and some other stuff.
Okay.
The kind of like classic immunosuppressors for having had this cyber surgery and stuff.
Okay.
But last night, I think I must have been walking around. I ran into someone, I think, and they brought me back here, but I don't remember. I know I walked around, and then I know someone brought me back here, but things are these gaps.
Well, I mean, that's probably to be expected, really, with that kind of surgery. You've had, wouldn't worry too much about it. I will also try to make a try to find a clue here in what she's telling me.
Sure, why don't you?
Maybe she can tell me more about this person she met, how tall they were, something like that.
Let's. What do you want to roll that with?
I would like to roll that with presence, please.
Okay.
I will not use the 6 bottles of the fire spotch guy. Don't think that
get
is,
her drunk.
That's maybe not the best idea right now. I try to be vaguely responsible with someone as wounded as she is. If I had a talk with Master Lore, I mean, there's a guy who can't use some spotch guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, I'm just rolling with 2d6 here. It's an 8.
Okay. I think this will exhaust her. Like, I think, but, and she's kind of concentrating on that. And that maybe worries you a little. I think that's kind of the cost here is that you do. And she says, I don't know. I remember that there were voices. There was 2 voices, and one of them was begging, was pleading, asking the other for something, and the other one was saying no, was denying them, was saying no. And it was one of them that brought me back. I'm sorry, I can't remember more.
Okay. Don't worry yourself. It's fine. You've given me more than enough to go on. Thank you. Thank you for trying your best.
Vant.
Yeah, I think I make a stop in the garden to pick up a certain package.
Okay.
And I'm going to, return to... problem with having my notes is that sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'll just find it in there. And
yeah.
Then, no.
Pages, scroll.
Exactly, yeah. To Salel Kib. I think I have it tucked, drawn to the end of one arm as I come in to her cargo area.
Uh, uh, um, Maybe don't be walking around with that.
You don't have to worry. The count isn't going to find it.
Yeah, because the count's dead.
Yeah.
And what happens when the people who are investigating the count's murder find that?
You're in luck. They already have.
She says in Togruta to the equivalent of, say what now?
Now, you know, there's this, I'm sure you're familiar with it, Axosynthes, drug that, you know, inhibits Jedi and Force sensitive's ability to connect to the Force. I understand that you've got a little trade in this, and, you know, it's interestingly, it's connected to what happened to the Count. And I look at the metal box and I go, now I wonder what was in here that was being smuggled on the Count's ship for you.
How about we leave that second question off to the side, like one of those mysteries of the universe that never get solved, and I perhaps answer your first question.
Well, we can start there, yeah.
So,
I'm happy, by the way, for my favor from her to have just been she inadvertently handed me perfect blackmail material.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. I'm going to let her answer the question. Then if you want to make an exploration roll to kind of get more, ask questions, she will say, look, Master Honors and Master Vex both have needs, and I have supplied them with this in the past. But they both have a supply. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody came through here when I checked the inventory this morning. Somebody came through here and took some last night.
Someone took some of your Axosynth. The Axosynth that presumably should only really be in the medical bay.
No, we've got the, this is we have lots of, this is storage. This is backlog. Look, there's not much call for accent except amongst Jedi, so it's not something that I trade in outside of the standard procedures. Master Honors and Master Vex,
like, killers.
They use it very gently to help ease the pain.
I guess it worked.
Well, all I'm saying is whoever took it wasn't Honors or X, because they already had some.
Okay. Well, I am really curious of what is in this. Well,
There's some things produced elsewhere on the planet that have high value in other regions, and there would be considered contraband in places like Coruscant. So using Jedi Council shuttles that don't usually get like checked to get things past that is a sideline of mine.
Well, then you won't mind opening it just for me to have a look.
And she will have you set it down, and she will hit the buttons there, and we'll open it up. And it's the equivalent of spice. It's like space Viagra, kind of drugs there. that is produced from a particular animal on the planet. It's mildly addictive. It's exaggerated. It, like the addiction factor is exaggerated, so that's why it's contraband.
I'll shrug and say, I'm so disappointed it was so boring, but hey, nothing to me if seems to me that the Jedi Council shuttles, are finally fulfilling a greater purpose and shipping around dignitaries.
Absolutely, absolutely.
This can, and I say, feel free to lock that up. I'll keep hold of it for a bit longer if you want. Or you can put it back in your stores. But tell me, which of the crates held the axis in?
And she'll gesture to that. Do you want to make that exploration roll now?
Yeah, I'd like to I think go over it, try and inspect it, see if there's any sort of sign of how they broke in, or how they, I imagine the accident being like a locked supply, given that it's a active drug.
Yeah. Let's have you roll.
That is probably reason, I guess, studying, examining a specific scene.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'd like, perhaps I need to get to something that is obstructed by a piece of the metal or something on the crate. And I'd like to use my hidden lightsaber to get advantage on that roll.
Absolutely.
Like there's something as I reach in my arm and I'm like, I can kind of maybe and you know what, like look exasperated and just say like, look, you've got empty crates, right? Yeah, okay. And cut my way through into better access to whatever clue I might find.
Let's have you roll.
Can you roll for me, please, Lo?
Oh
That's a
gosh,
tough one.
almighty. So 3d6, right? So 4, 4, and so that'll be a 7 to 9. So I don't think like you'll open it up. You're kind of looking through to see for evidence there. And you like look through, and clearly somebody, jimmied the code in a particular way. But I think you're looking at the crate there, kind of because it's down towards the like a lower shelf kind of thing. And I think you will look over, and this place is pretty well cleaned. The maintenance droids come through here, though their schedule was thrown off by spotting a corpse this morning. And unusually, you will see there's soil here. Like somebody came here from the garden.
Yeah, I think maybe that's maybe there's like a scattering of like soil as I'm poking around the crate, and I try and lift, like push it away to see like where it's fallen beneath, like the thing, and then I just zoom and slice off a chunk of it, and beneath it there's like this soiled footprint or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like by the crates.
Yeah, so that's your clue. Does that feel good?
Dirt from the garden near the supplies, I
Yeah.
guess.
I think the cost here is that you do make a mess, and kind of put Sybil in a bad spot. Does that seem fair?
Yeah, and then I've just come in and blackmailed her essentially, so I'm
Yes,
happy with
absolutely.
that.
As Jedi do.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, as this angry Jedi does.
Let's take a quick 5-minute break, and then I'm going to come back to Ravim and Lauren. Okay, so just a quick bio break, and then we'll continue on. So we come back. We've got, just to kind of frame up where we're at, we've got 5 clues on the table out of a difficulty 4. Ravim, what would you like to do? Who would you like to talk to? What do you want to investigate?
I think it makes sense now that he's gotten in touch with remembered the shadow of his own anger to worry about Master Togan again and perhaps go searching out for him to see how he's handling this new news.
You will find him in the training area. And they don't have lightsabers here, but they do have essentially like the equivalent of Boken, like wooden sabers. And you do see him practicing. Like there are several different styles for fighting, and he is practicing. And there's a frustration in him. I think a frustration that Ravasha is dead, and it hasn't brought him any peace. But he will look up when you come in, and he will, Master Ravine.
And I think Ravim will pick up one of the other staffs and invite Master Togan to spar. And so in the process of sparring, I think Ravim is trying to assess whether Togan has acted from his anger and his aggression, or whether it's still all pent up in him. So he's trying to sense into by his fighting style whether, yeah, how strong the dark inside he is. Yeah. Whether he's gone dark. And actually committed murder here.
Let's have you roll exploration.
Okay. Not sure which one to use.
I think this would be force. I mean, this is you
Okay.
reaching out with the force to kind of sense that state that he's in.
Yeah. It was either force or vitality. They're both plus one. So, okay, cool. Where is that thing? Oh, do I have anything I can use? Yeah. I'll just do it with this way, just plus one, and I will roll. It's an eight.
I think that like you're not going to necessarily get the answer to the question that you want answered. Like that
Oh, it's yeah, it's too direct, huh?
I don't think, well, I mean that he is conflicted, and there's some things going on, and then you see him, he kind of stops and he says, I did something wrong. And he'll walk you over to kind of the bench where you see there's maybe a satchel that he's brought with him, and he will say, last night I went to kill Ruvasha. I saw him. He had been going around and it looked like he had been checking someone's room. I'm not sure which era he came out of, but I saw him and I had the chance. He came past me. He did not see me in the dark, but I could not do it. But I followed him. He went back to the Grandmaster D's office. And he was there for a bit, and then he went out again. And I went into his office, and I found this. And he'll open the bag and he will lift out, and he holds this lightsaber. And he turns it around and he lights it up, and it lights up that red of the Sith. And he turns it off, and he holds it forward towards you. I took it. I didn't know it was that kind of lightsaber. You can still feel it.
Marie would roll inner conflict if this were a different game.
Yes. Do you take it though? Or do you hesitate? Like, what do we see you do here? He clearly is trying to hand this burden off to you.
I think Ravim, hesitates and steals himself and takes the lightsaber. And then he reaches out and touches Master Togan's shoulder. And he says, "I know you and your master were very close. And a secret that he knows about Togan, that in all his meditations upon him, he's realized, is that they had an attachment to one another beyond what Jedi are supposed to have." And that's and Ravim says, "It is that same attachment that keeps you from communing with your master across the beyond. Free yourself of that attachment, and you may be reunited, paradoxically enough." So was there a clue in there?
Oh yes, the clue is the Sith lightsaber.
Okay, good. Sorry.
So can add that to the mystery thing. So, Master Killian, do you want to go talk to your brother?
There is no point having a move called Dark Twin that does not result in seeing your dark twin. So yes, I unceremoniously barge into his quarters.
Well, this is a surprise.
There are some things that matter more than our relationship, brother. I saw that you and the Count seem to get on very well. Do you have anything to say about his death?
It's a pity. I would have liked to have seen what he would have done with this place.
You know that's not what I mean. You share a history. You know something, Kodo.
And why, Raytel, if I was a person who did know something, would I tell you?
Because it is not always about you and me. Some things are more important. And your jealousies, some things transcend such feelings as that.
Let's have you roll exploration with advantage.
Thank you. That's, oh, sorry, I'm assuming presence
Yeah, presence or
was.
force would be either one be good there. So that's a 10, right?
10, 11, in fact.
11. When I spoke with our new Grand Master yesterday, he told me that when he arrived, he was looking for one of the Jedi that he knew, but that when he saw them, they were not the same Jedi. He said that someone here had taken the name of another Jedi.
And he did not hint at whom?
Grandmaster Vasha planned to use this as a demonstration of his skill and cunning to re-ingratiate himself with the council. He was disappointed because the person that he was looking for, he believed, was the woman who had sold him out to the council.
A woman. Thank you, brother. And that'll do me, I think.
Okay. I think we need to hard frame, bring the group together here. Vant, where does this scene take place? What's our place where you are discussing these heavy matters? Is it back in the med bay? Are we in the garden? Where are we at?
I think that we are in the, you know what, it's Star Wars. So we're in the dojo, in fact, with the training droids.
Okay.
And the practice sticks. And Bant is talking while he engages with three of these drones as they go around.
Okay.
You know?
And we'll take the group of you together. And the way I usually do this, the way I did it in Apocalypse Keys, and the way I handle this is I typically have go to each of you. We start with this. I mean, like, is there generally a thought of who is the killer here? Anyone want to put that on the table?
It's one of the Jedi, and he came looking for a woman. So I suggest we narrow it down to the female Jedi.
So if we leave Kirothu out because they couldn't be that person, and that leaves us then with Master Jezilo and Master Arrance as our two possibilities then in that case. So, but, yes.
Can I say add something to that?
Yeah.
This thing about it being a female... remember that whoever it is impersonating somebody else, impersonating them well enough that Ravasha did not recognize them as the enemy. So it could be that they're impersonating a male.
Well, I actually want to correct that. Like, he clearly saw what we're going to establish is like the I think okay. The clue there is that he saw a woman and it was not the woman he thought it was.
Oh, okay. So he saw a woman and it wasn't the woman. Yeah. Okay, thank you. That helps.
Yeah,
okay.
that.
You missed a trick by declaring the gender of the big lizard person, Master Grogus.
Yes, that's true. That is.
He could have been anything.
So what I'd like to do I go around and I'm going to go to each of you, and I want you to pick one of the clues and say kind of what you think it tells us about the solution, how it fits in with things, what the draw is, and we'll kind of try to build off of that the sense of what's going on. So Vant, can I start with you? And you can talk about a clue that you found or a clue that someone else found, and kind of say what it fits in the context of this.
Too many windows. The dirt from the garden. I think that is as clear indication as could be that it is Master Errant's. That's the only way I can make that clue work, I think, in that
Yeah,
context.
no,
Is what was.
I think that that's perfect. I mean, we've already seen you hide things in the garden. It would be no problem for her to do the same. Certainly, we've got that. Sanaya, what's the next clue, and how do you think it kind of fits into the context of this?
I think there's a bit more going on than just the unrem I think the whole thing with the Sith was more incidental, because actually I think Ravasha had someone else in mind, someone else as the Sith. Maybe it was Master Dee, because the Sith lightsaber was in Master Dee's desk, and maybe just stumbled across. Then later on, the gardener,
Okay.
who just got in the way, because that's what he said. I don't care who you are unless you get in my way. So that says that, yeah, I've got bigger fish to fry here, right?
Okay. So whoever this Jedi impersonator, this Errant is, not necessarily a Sith, but something else is going on.
Maybe
Okay.
something else is going on, but that doesn't make her less of the murderer. But we might have two baddies here.
Okay.
Always fun.
So we kind of looked at that. Ravim? Oh, you're muted.
Just trying to find the right window to unmute
Here, here.
myself. I'm back. Let me just look at the clues for a second. I'm sorry, just wondering. So have we established that we think it's Master Errant? Is that our suspect?
I think that sense is where things are leaning towards right now. Yeah.
And then I think the two people arguing, this is what Sanaya, I'm sorry.
Hey, Ruthu.
Yes. Okay, Rutho her overheard them. What can I say about that? So, or maybe, actually, maybe it's the you are not who you say you are. I don't care. Maybe I'll try that one.
Okay.
Unless you get in my way. So I think whoever it is that the victim thought they were looking for, maybe he believed it really was a Sith. But it's something a lot more personal. And that's what, Ravim had perceived too, that there was some kind of personal vendetta. both ways. And so I think when they revealed themselves, this would have been, you're not who you say you are. I don't care unless you get in my way. And that's when the dose of the drug was administered. Sorry, I'm all over the place.
Yeah, no, I like this. So let me refresh what we've got here.
Yeah.
So we know that he came here looking for someone, and he came here looking for apparently Master Arentz. He got here, he sees the person who is named as Arentz, but that's not her. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I was looking for Arentz. I don't know who that is, but that's not the person I was looking to have revenge on. So he goes, he looks, he finds the evidence of the Sith with D, thinks he knows that. So when he goes to confront Arentz, he doesn't think that's the Sith. He doesn't worry about that.
Let's just go down.
Yeah, but clearly Arentz has some personal reason. So the question becomes, like, who is Arentz? This Arentz to the one that was supposed to be here? A sister, a friend, something else? Perhaps someone looking for vengeance on Ruvasha. Any other clues we want to roll into this? Can we, if that solution works, that we can connect? Master Lauren, I haven't given you a chance to... You're muted.
Dosed with this drug, Arentz is a healer and will have had access to supplies.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, the smuggler said that she had her own supply, right?
Arentz didn't have a supply, so Arentz would have had to go down there and break in as Vaughn found.
Yeah. Well, I suppose maybe not had access then. Arentz knows.
She knows about how to use it.
Use of the drug.
Yeah. How much you would need to completely stop a superior.
A potent. Yeah.
Jedi.
And being a healer, maybe she knew about the habit of her compatriots, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
She told me about it. Yeah. Throw suspicion to others.
I'm still not entirely clear how the Ruvasha Ravins overhearing, you are who you say you are, I don't care unless you get in my way. Are we saying that that's a conversation with the Sith?
No, that's a conversation with Arentz. So here is, given what you've said about the two people arguing, there's an argument that happens, and probably the same kind of thing that leads into that medical discussion. Like, he goes and talks to Arentz, thinking he's just calling them out for fakery, for using someone else's name to get stationed here to do that, not realizing that this is a person who wants to kill him.
Okay. Then I think we can get two people arguing.
Yeah.
Because I think that's triangulation on this same conversation, conceivably.
Yeah, but they said that someone was begging Lavashta.
Yeah.
Wonder if the argument happened after the administering of the drug and the person begging.
Very nice.
That's cool.
Well done. That Ruvasha had a moment, lost his force powers at begging there.
Was helpless.
Yeah, so one person begging is a better description of that clue, isn't it?
What do you think that the role might be of this holocron crystal that was found? Is that something Arentz was carrying? Is that something Ruvasha was carrying? What would it have been?
That was, I think, a holocron crystal that Arentz was carrying of the real Master Arentz, who died in the early days of the war, sent on a suicide mission by Ruvasha. And it is, in fact, her own dark twin who has come to the Jedi Temple.
Very nice. So that's with a plus three. Does someone want to volunteer to make that roll?
You know why I won't make this roll,
Because you know, I've seen you botch this roll terribly. Uh,
Yes.
and and also you can't make the roll. S Sabine, do you
Vote
want
for
to make the
Sabine.
roll?
I can make the roll, sure. I've not rolled well, but you know.
Roll with a plus three.
Okay. Hey, nice roll. It's a seven, so
That is a
yeah.
seven.
What?
So I think that you will go to confront Aarons. And I think when you arrive on scene, you will come in to her quarters, and you see her grasping at her throat, being pushed back, and you will see Grandmaster D saying, "Where is it?" And then all of you come in. What do you do, Master Killian, as Grandmaster D is forks choking the killer?
I am going to try to summon the force in defense. Try to cast D across the room.
Okay. So your goal is to get him to stop force choking. You're trying to solve that problem.
Yes.
So if you
And
want to call on the force to do that, you can do that.
okay, I am going to the braid of my dead Padawan
Okay.
reminds me of my former failure to roll with advantage. And force is zero, so 3d6 plus zero. That is an 11.
Love it. So you've been so out of touch with the force, so distant from it, but this moment you see this killing like grabs you and he will break that. He will be thrown back, but of course he is a Sith. You know, his feet touch the wall and then he lands down, but you have broken off his attack on Aarons, who slumps to the floor, clutching at her throat. Sinaya.
Yeah, you know what? I know for how to force sleep, remember?
Absolutely.
So there's this Sith, and where are we? In his office
You're
or
no, you
in the
are in
garden?
the chambers of Aerith's, like her rooms there.
Okay. Okay, but there is a window, right?
Oh, there's a window. Of course, there's a balcony and a window, you
Oh,
know.
a balcony and a window. So let's that I'll just when he gets up. I'll just jump him and we'll go over the balcony for a bit.
Okay. So I think you all will see that as D gets up to like do something. None of you have seen anything like this before. What does this look like, Sinaya? As a 12 plus using the force to do this, the two of you going out, what do we see?
I think I'll just start running. And it's odd because there is not a lot of space, but I start running and it looks like I'm running a longer away than is actually possible. And while he's standing there, like his hand out to push me back, I'll just get into the air, get above him, and then I'll just push him and myself off of the balcony, and there we go flying.
Windows shatters. They will go tumbling that 30, 40 feet down to a fountain below that kind of splashes the two of them hit. Vant.
I suppose. I mean, is the lightsaber still active at all?
Well, you have your lightsaber. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I will level my lightsaber and say, you know, stand down, Master D.
So you're leaping out at the window after him?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Okay.
I mean, what else can I do other than shake my hands and, you know,
Absolutely.
wait for that?
Then this is dark side. I mean, this is a dangerous thing you're
Yeah,
doing,
yeah.
leaping out and trying to come down, getting your lightsaber out. This is your second tick of that, so you can roll that with advantage, though.
Yes, and I think that's a vitality
Yes.
roll.
So here's me rolling 3d6.
Thank you.
What's your vitality?
This one.
So that is a 5 plus 1 is a 6.
Even with advantage, I only got a six. Wow.
Yes. That's why you don't
Terrible.
let the GM roll.
Yeah.
I think you bring that up and you're landing like this. Your lightsaber is out, and as you are falling, we see that force lightning hit you center of the chest, and you go flying backwards and crash into the ground.
Take the conditions scorched.
Yes. Raveem, you see that. You see the Sith lightning. You see that figure blast Vant to the side. Sinaya's getting up out of the water. She's gotten him out here where he's exposed. What do you do?
I
I
think.
have to say at this point, you have a choice, Ravim. Believe in the Force.
Believe in the force. No, they're both in the fountain, right?
Yeah,
So I
you
think
can.
Raven uses the force to or attempts to use the force to have the water. This is his memory of the death of Ruvasha and all the Bacta infiltrating him, to have the water rise up and go into every orifice that that D has,
Okay.
basically to try to drown him where he stands.
Do you want to mark a trace?
Sure.
What are you going to mark?
I think I will mark maybe a path of the Sith, maybe. And maybe it's fear.
Well, you'll mark a trace for this, one
Oh,
of
a
your
trace. It's
items.
different.
Yeah. Yeah.
A trace. Oh, I see. I think in my hand, maybe I have the lightsaber crystal passed down to me from my
Yes.
master, and I'm
Nice.
using that to channel the force.
Then
A
roll
trace.
with 3d6.
Okay. Add another one of these. Oh, and I guess I'm rolling with force, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
So
that is a 10.
it's a 10, yeah.
Sanaya, you kind of stood up. You kind of keep he essentially force blasted Vant. And he's like, you've pools, and then the water is up, rushing onto him, and you'll see him grab at that, kind of lifted up into the air as the water goes, and then he will crash.
I try to get him and save his life because Jedi, you know.
Okay. I think
Not
that
once he's down, once he's
perhaps,
down,
oh,
but
absolutely. He's going to be
careful.
unconscious.
Yeah.
Let's say you do. I mean, I don't think that's necessarily a role. I think you
Okay.
can grab him, before he does anything else, and he's unconscious from Ravim's attack. You can secure him. Master Lorne. See Master Arrant getting up over there.
Why?
Ruvasha killed my sister. I know you have no love for your brother, but when your brother is dead, you will find all of that love that you should have given them.
There is the law and there is justice. I'm interested in justice, not the law. Go. And may the Force go with you.
And she will leave. And I think that, of course, you have a Sith captured, you have the Sith lightsaber, you have an obvious culprit here.
Whatever he were to say.
And I think that we will see the council arrive to look into the matter. Master Lorne, what is your epilogue in the aftermath of this letting go of a killer who was revenging her dead sister, but this capturing of this Sith who had, at Lord Palpatine's behest, managed this Sith temple, sorry, Jedi temple. What's your epilogue?
I think my epilogue is a brief conversation with Ravim that says, once you have truly decided the path you wish to follow, Ravim, if one of those paths brings you to me, you would be welcome.
Nice. Sanaya, what is your epilogue after this?
I think we will see her knock on Master Vex. Vex was his name, right? Vex's door, because now she knows that he takes drugs to do stuff with himself. And she says, "Well, Master Vex, you're a master of meditation, but let's try my kind of meditation." She puts the bottles of splotchka on the table.
Nice. Ravim, what is the epilogue we see for you?
I think we see Ravim on Coruscant, at whatever the Jedi temple in Coruscant is, and he's in a room again studying all these images being projected around him, and some of them are images of Dee and the temple at Devok, and he's still trying to figure out exactly who was behind everything. And then I think we hear the door swish open, and in steps. Is he the emperor at this point? No, he's not.
Chancellor.
He's the chancellor right now. The chancellor walks in, and you see Ravine bow to the chancellor, and then the chancellor snickers, and that's where we cut away from him.
Oh, very nice. And Vant?
I think that we see a Star Tours vessel being raided by boarded by pirates. And big swaggering Gamorreans stepping on and pulling people out of their things. And then at the very back of the room, a lightsaber ignites. A camo cloak gets thrust aside, and Vant charges into the maelstrom. And that's the end.
Awesome. Awesome. And that's our mystery. That's our episode. Thank you all so much for coming and trying this out with me.
Yes.
It's always a challenge to do one of these things in one session, but I enjoyed the mystery solving part, and I love the character interaction. So I had a good time. Alan, anything you want to shout out, stars?
Yes, I think stars to you. Pacing was great, always tricky. You never, and you just keep your fingers crossed that we don't fail the revelation roll. Jose, great arc for Ravim, I think. Sabine, it's like the high school Jedi master. It's lovely. And Will, Vant. Oh, I feel sorry for Vant. He's a man who deserves to do better, and I hope that his epilogue leads to a great heroic success.
Awesome. Sabine, anything you want to say?
Yes, stars all around. That was a lot of fun. I liked all your broody, dark, tortured Jedi. I wish we had had more, a little more time to have some interactions, but well, it was a one shot, so it's fine. And I really I loved all the NPCs and all the conversations we had and the whole mystery that and especially big star to that murder victim was so. I mean, we all wanted to murder him at one
Yes.
point, right? And Alan, I know he was in your little envelope, so. That you mentioned, so yeah, so stars, but it was great fun, and I really loved what you did with the Burnwood Bay and the Rosewood Abbey system. That was very well hacked.
Awesome. Thank you. Jose?
Yeah, stars all around. I had a great time. One shots are usually like, oh, there's not enough time for me to do anything I want to do, but I had a great time today. That was a lot of fun. Thank you for the hack, Lowell, and. Thank you for Space Viagra. That was awesome. And thank you for, all the pacing, everything that everybody else has said. Alan, thank you for the scene in the corridor and creating interactions between our PCs. That felt like really fun for
Oh
me.
yeah, great scene.
And so thank you for initiating that and playing it out. Will, thank you for 101 ways of using a hidden lightsaber. That was really great. So I was enjoying every time it came out, and just the character event was great. The sneakiness and the kind of sneaky Jedis. It's interesting. And Sabine, it was just such a welcome change from the way we were playing the other characters. I really enjoyed the fact that we all had very different characters and different tones that we were playing on each of the characters. And so that really created a lot of variety in the way the play went, which I really appreciated. So yeah, thank you everybody.
Awesome. And Will.
Yeah, again, I really enjoyed it. It's an interesting twist, I think, because of the, not just the technology of Star Wars, but you are all literal magic people. And I often like, well, if this was the movie version of this or the TV show, right, I'd use the Force. I would always. Everything would be just using the Force, Like, why would I? The reason I know that there's a needle in the back of his neck is because I pull it out with the Force, right? Like, kind of thing. But I really enjoyed, Master Lorne being the sort of like sage-like character, reserved and the order and all of those things. And I think it really drove me towards like just committing to being the rebellious, like vigilante Jedi, basically. And my epilogue is imagining him as having left the order and just carrying on. Declared dead after, disappeared after missing the battle. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I really liked the dynamic between Rabeem and Lorne, and that Sanaa was just, lightness and sunshine in the Jedi. My often thing with the Jedi is the more we've actually seen of them in the various media is that I don't actually like them very much. Like they're not very like the ones that I like the exceptions, not the rule. And so yeah, this was fun. And I've been playing a lot of a game called Pentiment recently, which you, I think, personally would love, Lowell. You should check it out.
I have to check that. I've watched some videos on it, so I might have to try that.
It's really, 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 really good. Like this, this hits a lot of the same vibe, basically.
Like I often say this, that I enjoy people's because I really like these characters. Like these were dynamite characters. Diverse, interesting approaches. The troubles felt really organic. You brought them all in. It was just a pleasure to run for you for today. Like really good stuff. I really had a good time like running it. Just made it a real pleasure to do. Thank you all so much. I'm going to stop the recording.
Just before you do, we should give a star to Callum for the original.
Oh yes. And again, I will have the link in the show notes so you can check that out.
Good for you, Callum.
I'm going to stop this.